much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let the romance begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, this is Rachel Nichols Baxter, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean.
Just kind of pinch the tip. It'll split.
What?
And you peel it out like that.
We're laughing, and boom! Out of nowhere, we're singing and humming the tunes. Why? Why would we do that? I'll tell you why. Because the songs kick effing ass.
Adrena! Adrena, real quick. Adrena.
You think it's going well?
No.
Psycho Mike, period. Psycho Mike. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. Psycho Mike.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You are a talented son of a bitch.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
On a scale of 1 to 100, it's so bad that that's funny.
Roll another one.
Are you speaking English?
Just like the other one.
I'm not going to talk to you.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I'm gonna need to change my pants.
I need another year.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I like the width of this. I like the length of it.
Roll another one.
Is Anna Nicole Smith still dead, Wolf?
Yes.
Just like.
You like movies about gladiators.
This one seems to be about to end.
Say hi to King Beyonce.
I don't have another cent.
Man, there's not enough weed in the world to make that show funny anymore.
But don't fuck up that joint.
Actually, they're all gay and dull.
Just pass it around.
Yeah, no, they're so kinky.
And now,
what? Wait, what?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 5:33.
How was Rachel last night, Mike?
On a scale of 1 to 10, she was a 15.
Oh, you're just saying that.
No, I'm not just saying that because it's her and we all love her.
Mike went to the red carpet of G.I. Joe. Mm.
She looked so ridiculously hot last night. I mean, she's always hot, but last night was
now,
off the chart.
Are you talking about in person when she came through the line or on the movie or both?
I did not see the movie. Walking through the line.
You were at the red carpet.
Yeah.
World premiere.
Yeah.
For G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
A movie which you've been looking forward to for 2 years. And you didn't.
For 20 years.
You didn't see the movie.
Dave and I were on the red carpet till 45 minutes after the movie started.
Oh.
I mean, it just didn't work out.
Wow.
So did she ask about me?
Why don't you just wait and you'll hear the tape.
Oh, excellent.
There was discussion about you. I'll leave it at that.
People actually talk to Mike.
How about
that?
Well,
almost never happens.
Again, let's wait and find out.
Yeah, true.
Because the results of that are usually non-existent.
And certainly not what he builds them up to be.
Right.
Mike has an exclusive hard-hitting sit-down one-on-one with Sienna Miller, apparently, from G.I. Joe last night.
Oh,
well,
excellent.
Every star. I talked to every single star.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Or
100% true. Now, how in-depth I got, that's up to you to decide. But I talk to every single star.
Well, it's red carpet. You don't get too in-depth.
But Mike.
But then there's Mike.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Maybe. You know, he's really, he
Channing
brings
Tatum,
it.
You got him?
Yep. You name
the Asian Brad Pitt, you got him?
Yep.
All right.
Is that his name, the Asian Brad Pitt?
He's a massive movie star in Asia. And yeah. People were flocking to this guy as he walked down the red carpet. And, one of my best interviews of the night, I would say, was with the Asian Brad Pitt.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
That is not promising.
Can't wait for that.
Well, I'm very excited
now
as well.
Now I think I know.
All right. It is time for your phone calls. That's how we start the show off every day. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You call up. We put you on the air and give you a prize. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. Cue the music.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
How about once again this morning some tickets to see some Bezball? We're talking about the Dodgers versus the Cardinals on Monday, August 17th at Dodger Stadium. That's what you get at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our man, JR, calling about one of our favorite topics on yesterday's show.
Hey, JR.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Baby boo.
Hello.
So, yesterday morning I was listening to the show, and you had the guy on there from HotChicksEatingTacos.com.
Mm-hmm. One of the best websites ever because it's worthless but fantastic.
Yeah. So I get home from work, decide to go on. I'm in the computer room, and the wife walks in.
And but they're just eating tacos.
They're not nude, right? I mean, it's just hot chicks eating tacos.
Yeah, but she kind of looked at me weird and said, what are you looking at? And I just said, just some website. And she walks out and shook her head with disgust.
Does she not like tacos?
I don't know. I think it was just the whole freak thing.
Yeah, you were doing the right thing. I mean, if you're told about HotChicksEatingTacos.com, at some point, you really have to go check it out.
Yeah.
Yes. It's just the way it works.
Yes, sir.
So, now...
She's got you on a pretty short leash, by the way, if she has a problem with that website.
No, I'll be good.
Now you should go to, what's the name of the beam? Was it Explosions and Breasts? What was the name of that one?
ExplosionsandBoobs.com, I think is what it's called.
I think so. And it's a picture of an explosion and then boobs.
it's pretty simple, pretty self-explanatory.
They're not even
nothing
eating tacos.
Else on the site.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're in bikinis and shirt, low-cut shirts and stuff like that. So there's no nudity on that one either. But I assume your wife would have a problem with that as well.
I'll be good. I'll try it, though.
All right. Good luck with that. Thank you. Let's go to Charles. Hi, Charles. What'd it do?
How's it going? What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do, Charles?
I was just calling to see why Spidey was at the movie last night. They're not stars.
Why were Spencer and Heidi at the world premiere of G.I. Joe?
I can't explain why they were there, but they were there.
Did you interview them?
I talked to them.
Did you interview
them?
Why?
No. They did not respond.
Oh, they didn't respond.
I think they were too big for you.
I honestly do. I think they were aware of the fact that they probably didn't stand to gain anything by doing interviews, so they just they sprinted down the red carpet.
Well, once it gets stopped by the press, I mean, it's all night. They can't, you know, they can't turn it away.
I'm so surprised by that. I thought the only reason they would go to a red carpet premiere is so they could get interviewed and photographed.
Dave and I were actually both shocked at how, I mean, they literally sprinted down the red carpet practically. If Dave didn't happen to catch them out of the corner of his eye, no one would have noticed them there.
Huh.
And, you know, they're usually so desperate for attention. I was shocked.
That's right. That's strange.
All right. Let's go to Dave. Hi, Dave.
I think you guys are setting a pretty bad example over there for little kids out there in America regarding the interview yesterday with Rachel Adams from G.I. Joe.
Or Rachel Nichols.
She's something else.
Rachel Nichols, yes.
I'm sorry, Rachel Nichols. Yeah, you actually put on that she's now calling herself Rachel Baxter. Yeah, come on, guys. That just shows that stalking pays off. Come on.
I haven't stalked her. I haven't stalked her at all.
Oh, he sucks.
No, I have appreciated her talent. I have talked her up, certainly, and I've described my future plans with her, but I have done no stalking. You're not sleeping in the car out in front of her house or sending her letters or anything like that.
Yet.
Checkpoints A, B, and C on the stalking list, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, just because I'm a fan, all of Thank a sudden that makes me a stalker, right?
Well, when you said she will be mine or whatever that was a little scary.
Creepy.
Hey, that's just the secret, man. That's all that is.
Right.
Just envisioning positivity. That's,
sure.
I mean, that's Oprah told me to do that.
If people know anything about you, it's that you follow the secret.
Exactly. You need to visualize your goals, and I'm not going to get her unless I believe that I can get her.
Let's go to Christian. Hi, Christian.
Hey, what did you do, nephew?
What did you do?
Hi, Christian.
Was calling. I saw a really interesting documentary thing the other day on ESPN E60. And it was this up-and-coming kid. He's about 18 years old. He's what they're calling the world's greatest surfer. And the kid is just amazing. What's his name? Kerry Slater. Kelly Slater is the big-time pro.
Kelly Slater.
Yeah, he says that this kid will be the best ever, hands down.
No kidding.
Every time it looks like he's going to fall off the board, he comes back. He's doing aerial tricks that are just amazing, like he's on a skateboard. And his secret to his success is that he has Asperger's syndrome.
Really?
And they said he can that the Asperger's is the reason that he can do this is because he's concentrating and focusing so hard that he's a secret. Just focuses. Yeah, that's his secret.
So maybe need some Asperger's.
I don't know. Still don't know if there's hope for Bean, but they said that they didn't even diagnose it until he was 16 or 17, and he loses sponsors. He can't keep people around him.
He loses sponsors
because he says really inappropriate stuff all the time.
No, yep. he won't look anybody in the eye. Yeah. He won't shake hands. You know, big time Quicksilver sponsors, all sorts of people come to him and want to just shake his hand and talk to him, and he just kind of shrugs and walks away.
Can't do it.
There's a Quicksilver sponsored movie about this guy called Just Add Water. His name's Clay Marzo, and like he said, he is in the water probably the most inventive surfer anybody's ever seen. He's a goofy foot stance guy that does these aerials that blow your mind. He's very inventive, very creative, and he's a social retard. And
how about that?
He said he didn't get diagnosed with the Asperger's till like 2007.
Wow. All right. Thank you for the call. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I love that. Bean, you could surf.
I don't have any Asperger's, unfortunately. I wish I did if I could do all that. Sounds like fun.
Oh, all right. Liz, hi.
Hi. Good morning, baby boo.
Good morning.
What it do?
I just want to say turning 21 was the best thing ever. I'm still a little drunk, driving on the freeway with a cop behind me.
What?
On my way to work, and I'm actually early.
Wait a minute. You turned 21 yesterday?
Yeah, last night.
Okay, so then you got drunk.
And I'm still drunk.
You shouldn't be driving. Then.
Why
you're old
are you
enough
driving?
To know better
and on the
but
phone.
I'm already very close to work.
Right.
And I'm actually early today.
Right.
So that's probably the best thing I could do for today.
Okay. All right.
Please learn a lesson from how lucky you are today that you're surviving it and making it to work alive. And don't do it again.
I won't ever do it again, but I have to thank you guys because you guys actually got me to work.
Wow. Today. You don't need a DUI to begin your 21st birthday, really.
No,
that's
my God.
All right, Liz, you're bad. But thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Wow.
That's
right.
Scary.
And there's a cop behind me, and I'm on the phone.
Dear God.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
It's Friday morning. That means we've got the movie beat. We are going to try and help a Kevin and Bean listener who is getting married, and he wants to line up some donkeys and some midgets for the wedding.
Okay. Oh, for the wedding, not for the honeymoon. Okay.
For the wedding, yeah. And his bride-to-be is not as thrilled with that as he is. So I believe we're going to talk to the happy couple today and see if we can mediate.
What a stick in the mud.
Yeah. How can
Seriously.
She not want that?
I wouldn't even marry her. I can hear it now.
So we got that today. We got Psycho Mike's interviews from the G.I. Joe red carpet.
Uh-huh.
We have the CEO of Strike Force, Scott Coker. Who acquired Fedder, by the way, from Affliction when they went under. So okay. We're going to talk to him today. We're going to tell you about Bob Dylan's Christmas album.
Yeah.
I guess if you're going to do a Christmas album, now's when you record.
Yeah.
That's right.
Makes sense, right? Let's see. We got Adam Carolla in the studio.
Cool.
And we got This Week in Rage. So that's coming up. And we're going to try and track down a guy who's going to sell Bean a jetpack that can now fly for 30 minutes.
Now we're getting into an area where it's useful, by the way.
Where you
still
can
too
die.
Expensive, but now you can actually go places rather than just for exhibition purposes only, which is lift off in a field and land again. I want to be able to use this for transport.
Right.
We're getting very close to that.
And we've got your tickets for Blink 182 and your trip to Washington, D.C. to see them. So that's coming up this morning as well. A quick break and Ralph's Showbiz Beat is 106.7. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q and it is 5:52.
What's going on down there? Ralph rebuilding the studio?
Oh, dear God.
It's a little construction, light construction.
It's ridiculous.
All right, put that molding in. I did the crown molding.
What goes on at night that requires a rebuild each morning?
Can't
I
imagine.
I would pay to know.
Sure don't know.
It's going to be some sort of party happening. All right, yeah. It is Friday. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What the hell's going on?
So you get a chance to see the movie, Mike. Is that what you're saying? The movie you were looking forward to, you didn't get a chance to see it last night.
True. How funny is that?
Huh. I really enjoyed it.
No, did you?
When I saw it, when I watched it with my eyes on a screen.
So you've seen it.
Yeah.
And then you
have not
seen it. That's funny.
I don't know how Rachel Nichols looked last night on the red carpet.
Okay.
But I do know how she looked up on the big screen.
Yes.
Hey, this is Rachel Nichols Baxter, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean.
Beautiful.
Really?
Beautiful.
Awesome.
However, Sienna Miller crushes her
really
on the screen. as the Baroness in that leather outfit with her boobies all akimbo and the jet black hair all mommy. We'll talk more about G.I. Joe in the movie beat. Let's take a look at the showbiz beat, shall we? Ah, this made me sad yesterday when I heard the news that quintessential teen movie director John Hughes had passed away.
Great man.
And very young, sad. Too.
Yeah, just 59 years old. Yeah. Walking down the street in Manhattan, bang, heart attack.
Wow.
Drops like a stone.
Do you hear a bang when there's a heart attack?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know
that. It's a little known fact. It's like the fact you never hear the bullet come that kills you when you're poor, because it gets there before you hear it. But, yeah, his artery slammed shut.
Wow.
Bang. And he went down. Guy gave us, if you're not familiar with his work, do yourself a favor, In Memoriam. Cue up the Netflix and get yourself Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, come on.
That's one of my favorites.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Another one of my favorites.
Come on, the guy just...
Amazing, right?
Great work.
He
forgive
also,
him besides, for the Home Alone franchise. We'll forgive him for that.
He also, besides all those movies Ralph just mentioned that he wrote and directed, he also wrote a bunch of other stuff that he didn't direct, like National Lampoon's Vacation and Mr. Mom and a ton of other movies. I mean, the guy was unbelievably prolific for a while.
Super talented. And by all accounts, a real good guy, too.
The Summer of Death.
Speaking of the Summer of Death, can we just officially give an OG stud card to Patrick Swayze, who, I don't know if you saw the photos yesterday, is looking great.
Really?
Didn't see. I didn't see.
Guy is just, he may not, you know, survive this, but he is kicking cancer right in the nads. He's like, F you, cancer.
Does cancer have nads?
This guy is not going down without a fight. God bless him.
Yeah.
Photos yesterday were posted of him looking much healthier.
Good.
And apparently he just bought himself a new puppy. That's how optimistic he feels about life. And he's working on a book. He's writing a book.
How about that?
He does more with cancer than any of us do with our health.
That is so true.
I was wondering how the network feels about canceling his show now, which I, at the time, thought, I wonder if they canceled it because they thought, we didn't even want to get down that road and have our star die. So let's just go ahead and cancel it now since he's clearly gone. And now he's back and looking better than ever. So
he's doing two new series now.
He is, really?
Yeah, he's doing CSI Austin. I'm just making,
you're making
stuff
that up.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm just making stuff up. Speaking of actors, Peter Facinelli. You know him as Glark from Fastlane. He's also in Nurse Jackie. He plays the doctor with the sexual Tourette's.
Oh, yeah.
On that show.
Oh, he's didn't also, know that was the same guy.
And he's also in the Twilight movies.
Okay.
He is doing pretty well these days. His career is in full bloom.
Yeah.
He just bought himself a new toy, and I'm so jealous, because I want one of these so badly. Got himself a all-electric Tesla sports car. Have you seen the Tesla?
That's amazing.
That's a bitchin'-looking car.
That's the 0 to 100 in, like, 1 second?
Yeah, and it's all-electric. It's not even a hybrid.
No
it's
gas at all.
Just electric, and it looks like a rocket ship.
And I think it goes, this is the breakthrough, is it goes, like, 200 miles or something like that on a charge.
Yeah, it does everything.
Or something crazy.
It does it all. It's fast. It's long-lasting. Much like me.
More fast. The fast part. More fast than long-lasting.
Now, unfortunately, there's a waiting list for this car. His won't be ready till 2011.
Wow.
But still, he got himself. He just plopped down his down payment. I think they're like $250,000 or something.
They're not that much. They're not that much. They're around 100.
I think they're like $100,000.
Yeah.
I think they're like $50.
Are you looking into getting one of these beans?
I have looked into it. Yeah, I don't think I'd pay that for it, but the prices will come down, as all things do. But, I'm definitely interested.
I like how Bean pretends he would think about paying that. But wait,
I'm not pretending. I wouldn't pay $100, but it'll come down to a point where it will be very, very tempting to never have to buy gasoline again. Yeah, absolutely.
But that car is a speed demon. That's not what you're looking for.
Yeah, you like the putt-putts. Well,
not at all. I mean, I like a car that, you know, has great pickup and goes fast when you need it to. Sure.
Sure. With that car, you could get across the island in like 8 seconds.
He's going to get arrested for racing.
I think Peter Facinelli is also married to Jenny Garth, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Well done, sir.
2-0.
50 points to you.
Now we know a lot about an actor we hadn't really thought much of until this morning.
Let's bring out our next contestant and see what he can tell us about Teslas and Peter Facinelli. And dying has been the best thing Michael Jackson could have done for his career. Numbers are just in, saying that since his death on June the 25th,
The Summer of Death.
Michael has sold more than 4 million copies of his solo albums.
Wow.
4 million units in a little more than a month.
A month?
Turns out that's a lot.
A month.
His number ones collection, which he released in 2003, continues to sell 100,000 copies a week.
Wow.
Easily outselling any new release on the Billboard Top 200 pop albums charts. He's a monster star.
He is.
He should have died years ago, man. How good that would have been for his career. Oh, wait a minute. I think Kevin's right. I think he faked his own death.
He's going to come back and
he's living in a cave.
That's why they haven't buried him.
That's right.
He and Tupac are going to tour.
Apparently they've finalized plans, though, Lisa. They are burying him at Forest Lawn.
Okay.
Apparently they've just filed the paperwork. So now we know where his final resting place will be.
What's this the rush?
Year or? this year. Yeah, sometime this year. You know, Jermaine wanted him buried in Netherland.
Is that right?
Yeah. But Catherine has stepped in and said that will not happen. The matriarch of the Jackson family. She said she knows that Michael never wanted to go back there again ever since his child molestation trial in 2005. So she will not allow him to be buried.
Really?
There.
Are they going to turn
With
that into...
all the skeletons in the closet there, they don't need any skeletons in the ground. I guess that's what they're saying.
Are they going to turn it into an amusement park type thing or a...
I think it's going to be a home Graceland? For wayward boys.
Oh,
oddly
no.
enough.
No.
Yeah. It's going to be like Boys Town. I mean, the one in West Hollywood.
Yeah,
not,
sure.
Not the one, you know, where they do big things for kids. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Wayne Knight. Newman from Seinfeld.
Sure.
54 years old today. Hello, Newman. Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden. Is 51 years old today. Actor David Duchovny, our pal from The X-Files and Californication, is 49. Harold Perrineau from Oz and Lost and The Unusuals, which was canceled. But I think he's going to be back on Lost again. He's 46. And this is the only reason I got up this morning.
Wow.
Because I knew I'd be able to say this.
Which DeBarge?
Happy birthday, Charlize Theron.
Okay.
Oh!
All right.
Yay!
All right. Perfect woman.
You're probably not up yet. You're probably still deep in slumber with dreams of me dancing through your head.
What?
Bring it right now. I will throw down
that's,
with you.
That's what she hears in her dreams when you enter them.
Oh, does she? Yeah, you better stutter before I kick your ass. She's the perfect woman.
She is, yeah, but I'm saying you said she dreamt about you.
Yes, she does.
So I was gonging you.
Much to Stuart Townsend's consternation.
I think technically the term is nightmare in that case, though, Ralph. I think
that's correct.
Oh, now I see why they pay you the Paul Abdul money, Bean. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Lisa, did you touch it? I mean, I know we asked you to touch it, but did you touch it?
I did, but I refused to squeeze it.
Here's the conversation that was going on in the studio a minute ago. Touch it. No, touch it. No. Touch it!
That conversation frequently goes on in the studio with Lisa May, but this time it was an ear that was being offered up to be touching, and it was the ear of the bantamweight champion in the World Extreme Cage Fighting, Miguel Torres, joins us in studio along with the co-founder of the WEC, Reed Harris. Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
Miguel, what's up? What's up with the ear? I heard a little bit of that, but is it that's from getting beaten about the head and shoulders?
Just constantly training and fighting. At the time I had cauliflower ear, I tried draining it a couple of times. I couldn't rest. I was going through college and trying to pay some bills, so I had to keep fighting, and it hardened that way. It looks totally disgusting now.
Yeah, most of the fighters in the UFC as well have the same problem with the ear, that you can just tell that they've been in the ring for way too long, didn't have enough
There's
rest
There's a certain
time.
Look that yeah. they, the nose and their ears start to have a certain similar look.
Your but nose I, is fine.
Yeah.
Well, my nose right. is broken at the top.
Oh, it
it's
is?
It's cracked at the top. It's not broken right now, but it's been broken at the top, so yeah. You can't really tell. I'm lucky.
His ear is like a half inch thick.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, girls don't like that too much either. So,
Psycho Mike, are you handling this conversation okay? I know how you are about guys with tails and things like that.
No. I'm only disgusted by people who are born with deformities. Like he's earned this through hard work. It's totally different. I don't find it disgusting at all.
I would have said earned it. Yeah. I say blessed with it. Blessed, gifted.
Now, we have many questions. Of course, you are here because you're only a few weeks away from the big fight where once again you will defend your title. But, Reed, let me ask you, where is WEC right now, World Extreme Cage Fighting? Because I kind of get the impression it's kind of being pulled along with the huge success of UFC and that it's about to get way bigger.
Yeah, well, it actually always was pulled along by UFC. Even when we started in 2000,
we always realized, my partner and I, that if UFC did well, so would we.
Right.
Because they were the juggernaut. They were the guys that were pushing the sport.
The difference is the weight classes?
It is. We go 155 and below. So we are the lighter. We're the home of the best lightweight fighters in the world, such as Miguel Torres, who's actually rated as pound for pound one of the toughest guys in the world.
Wow.
His record, his actual record is 49-1.
49-1.
And Miguel, talk about your one loss.
Does what happened? One just torture you now? Like, do you go?
No, he went back and beat the guy.
No, I actually broke his arm when I fought him in a rematch.
Is that right?
I mean, that fight was that's the best thing that could have happened to me because it, you know, put me back on track. I had an ACL injury. Right, the loss. I had an ACL injury, and I was coming into my hometown 30-0 at the time. And it was a huge fight I hadn't fought in a year. Everyone's coming to the fight, sold out arena. And the guy that I was going to fight broke his hand the week before the fight. So nobody would take it on a short week, on a 1 week notice, especially against me.
So you were trying to find a replacement and everyone said no.
They found a replacement, a guy in a heavier weight class. We went into the fight. I lost a decision to him. After the first round, I knew I was totally gassed. My legs were totally gone. And he beat me by decision. It put me back on track. I met Carlson Gracie. I started training harder. I started training the way I train now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been the best thing that ever happened to me.
Really? Wow.
Interesting. Yeah, you kind of got reset a little bit on what happened that night. Huh?
Yeah, every now and then you got to redefine yourself. And that was the moment in time to where I could have lost and quit fighting or just taught or got better. And I got better.
Miguel, you grew up in Mexico?
No, I grew up in East Chicago, Indiana. In the
oh, hood. No kidding. Okay. And are you one of these kids? I mean, you're young enough to have been one of these kids that kind of grew up watching the sport. Is it something you always knew you wanted to do?
Well, I always wanted to be a boxer. When I was 5 and 6 years old, I would come home, you know, Saturday nights, Friday nights, and watch boxing with my dad. I would sit on his lap, and he would show me about fighting.
Oh, really? He would explain to you the moves and everything else?
Right. He would try to teach me how to fight when I was young by watching boxing. And I grew up with Bruce Lee and, you know, all those Kung Fu movies, Samurai Sunday and all those things like that. So I was always fascinated by martial arts because I was skinny. And
and when you're skinny, you know you need to learn tricks.
You need to learn something.
Right.
Either be funny or be tough. And I seen the first UFCs, Royce Gracie beating up all these big guys. And, you know, I was hooked. I wanted to do it. You know, I started getting into martial arts. I started fighting in local clubs and bars when I was younger, and you know, it just took off. I started fighting, and I was in college, making a couple hundred bucks here and there, paying my tuition off every semester, and I developed a career out of it.
You know? What was the average pay while you were in college fighting?
The first 10 fights I had, I didn't make anything.
Zero?
I made zero. And then my dad found out I was fighting because I didn't tell him I was fighting.
Okay.
Back then, it was like respect and honor kind of thing, all martial arts orientated. And
right.
My dad found out because one of his buddies went to one of the bars and see me fight. And he tells my dad. My dad's in the hospital at the time. He said, hey, I seen your son fight. He did a great job. He knocked the guy out. And my dad, I come out, you know, home from school. My dad's like, you know, I heard you fought yesterday. And the cow's out of the bag. He smacks me in the back of the head. How much money did you make? It's like, well, I didn't make anything. And he goes, you idiot. This guy's making money off of you. So
wow.
That's when I started. It was $100, $200, $300.
That's a tough way to make a living, working that hard for that $100.
Yeah. Well, back then, I didn't think of it that way because my only focus was to fight.
Right.
When I started making $500 a fight, in two fights, I could pay, you know, half my tuition.
Yeah.
So I was thinking the more I fight, the more I'm going to make for my tuition. So.
And you did end up graduating from Purdue, right, with a marketing degree. Now, was there ever a point that you thought that you were going to go straight, get a job in marketing after you graduated?
Well, at the time, I was working at a hospital, and one of my managers worked for Kodak. He was imaging. He sold imaging equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a good rapport with people. I had, you know, a good image, and he wanted me to work with him for Kodak. And he offered me a job, and, you know, at the time, I could have went either way. You know, I met a lot of doctors. I met a lot of people. I could have got a good job. And my heart and soul was in fighting and mixed martial arts. And I had a gym at the time, and I was doing well with that. And I just, you know, I took a leap of faith.
You had a gym. You ran it?
Yeah, I was running a gym at the same time. I was going to school, fighting, and training at the same time.
Wow.
Reed, tell me about the first time you remember coming across Miguel.
You know, we had seen Miguel fighting in another organization, and we knew his contract was coming up. This is a few years ago. We knew he was really, really good, and the first of the probably top three or four fights I've ever seen in my life, Miguel's in two of them. The thing about Miguel Torres that makes him so good is when he goes and fights a guy in my organization. Now, the guy he's fighting August 9th, as a promoter, you know, you'd asked about WC and where we're going. Mm-hmm. Our last show, we did 13,500 people attended it.
Right.
With the original airing on Versus and the replay, 6 million people saw it the first week.
Wow.
So we are blowing up. I mean, everywhere we go, people know, you know, Miguel, Uriah Faber, Brian Bowles, Mike Brown, some of my champs. Now, Brian Bowles is fighting Miguel August 9th. And my last show, Uriah Faber fought Mike Brown, the number one and the number two guy in the world. As a promoter, you hope for a fight like that maybe once a year.
Right.
August 9th, I've got Miguel, who's clearly number one, no argument in any MMA poll out there, fighting number two, Brian Bowles, who's also undefeated. Brian Bowles trains with Forrest Griffin down there in Athens, Georgia.
But he hasn't been in it as long, right? He only has...
Seven fights.
Okay. Right.
But there aren't guys out there like Miguel that are 49-1. There's maybe one or two. Miguel, I think, probably has the best record in MMA.
I've been a busy bee.
Yes, you have.
People always ask me about that. You know, I have fans. I would always fight in my hometown. I fought in the Midwest for a long time. And I fought so often and so much that people wouldn't go to my fights.
Like, really?
I'll see you next time. And they put it off for 9-10 years. And now I'm fighting in huge shows in Vegas, Sacramento,
right,
traveling all over the place.
And they're calling and trying to get tickets?
And they're like, oh, I can't make it. It's too far. I don't have the money for the plane travel. And when I fought in Chicago, my last fight, I was getting phone calls from people I hadn't talked to in 9 years.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're fighting in Chicago again. Can you hook it up with a ticket? You know, can you hook it up with a discount? I'm like, dude, I have no hookups. Because back in the day when I fought in my hometown, I always had a hookup. And
right.
I would give you a ticket this time, but next time you'd buy 10 because you take your friends.
Right.
And that was the way it worked. And
so you're a disappointment to all of your friends, basically.
Basically, yeah.
It's Friday morning right here on the Kevin Amin Show. That means Ralph has the movie beat coming up later on. One of the movies he'll be talking about is G.I. Joe with my girlfriend, the future Mrs. Baxter, actress Rachel Nichols. Last night, the boys, the Mexican posse here from the Kevin Amin Show, Psycho Mike and Dave, were out on the red carpet with the stars. How was it, guys?
It was awesome. So much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the stars showed up. So it was pretty good.
So you were standing there and you interviewed everybody that came by?
Everyone who came by.
Awesome.
We got them.
Really?
Yeah, right, Mike?
All right. What are you doing, Mike?
Does Mike not know we're on the air?
I don't. Is there any way we could do this thing where we talk about the interviews
and maybe play some of them back for the listeners?
All that stuff.
Hearing Dave describe them?
Kind of recap stuff, maybe?
Oh, there you are.
And then it was neat because then we talked to Channing Tatum, and I wish I could tell you what it was like.
Usually the radio guys are put down at the end, and the stars just could care less. By the time they get down to the radio, they just rush in.
We were put at the end.
Okay.
But the stars of this movie were really cool. I mean, we really did talk to everybody in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah. It's good for our listeners.
Yeah.
Because we brought it.
I'm sure
Dave and I tag team in that red carpet. We brought it. The first guy we talked to is the Asian Brad Pitt. This guy's a monster movie star in the Orient. His name is Byung Hun Lee.
Okay.
Hey! Now, when we had the beautiful Rachel Nichols on this week to discuss JoJo, she told us that he's such a big star, they closed down the airport in Japan when they went over there for a promo tour, right? And that's how big this dude is.
I believe it because there were people on the red carpet, people in the crowd with huge signs.
Really?
We love you. Writing an Asian character is a big going on.
This guy does action movie after action movie over there and just kills it. Okay.
And I wanted to make sure that I gave him the proper reverence knowing what a big star he is. So here's my interview with him.
Was it exciting making this movie?
Yeah, of course. This was my first experience in Hollywood.
Was it exhilarating beating up white people?
Not only white, there was Marlon Wayans too.
Is it true that we all look the same to you?
Sorry.
Hey! Wow! Did he turn and leave on that question?
He did. He was.
Oh.
He sounded like the nicest guy in the world until you had to work blue.
He was so cool, but his people, not the Paramount people, but his manager, like from Korea, I guess, didn't find that funny at all. So
he was like, oh, this is going
poorly. No, that's only going to be bad. So he just pulled him away, and he was laughing. So, you know, he had a good sense of humor.
Do we all look the same to you?
I'm disappointed. I would like to hear the answer.
Yeah, he was nodding his head, though, you know, so.
Yeah, of course. That's awesome. All right, so one down.
Channing Tatum. Girls are going nuts when this guy comes down the red carpet. He's incredibly handsome. He's incredibly charming. Dave was very helpful in researching a lot of the guests and what I would say, but I was handling most of the mic work.
Right.
Until Mr. Tatum comes along, because Dave knows that they share a special bond.
Yeah, from the star of Step Up 3D to the star of Step Up 1, I just want to congratulate you and say it's awesome that us Step Up alum are, you know, making it big, man. So,
yo, thanks, man. Up, yes, man. I'm glad we could pass the baton to y'all. Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. Rep it right.
All right, man.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
We had a bond. We cool now.
Now, when you say the star of Step Up 3D.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You were in a scene for a second.
One scene, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Star.
And you said what?
And I said...
Nothing. All right.
But Dave is like Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction. He's only in it for a little bit, but he steals the show.
That's
he makes,
right.
Makes the best of it. All right.
So Spencer and Heidi walk down the red carpet, and we talked about it a little bit earlier. I wasn't exaggerating. They were practically bolting down the red carpet. If it wasn't for Dave having such a keen eye, we would not have noticed them.
No one would have noticed.
Being
them.
Brought up, that seems odd.
I know
for them, it seems like they would stop at every single microphone.
Yeah. They were totally avoiding doing any press or taking pictures. But Dave fired up the little flip video, and we got this as I tried my best to get his attention with my Spencer impression.
Spence, Heidi. Spence. Get him, kid. Tidy gaining weight, player. I'll see you at Hyde later, kid. Brody, right? Spence.
Didn't work.
At one point, he put the two fingers above his eye, like, oh, don't look at me, like, you know.
He was trying to hide?
Don't notice me.
Really?
I don't know if he saw Mike or he saw K-Rock or what, but he just went, you know, like, oh, don't look at us. And when as soon as he started talking, he knew who he was, and he just bailed. They went even faster.
Just guessing here, but they're not fans of ours.
We might. But congratulations to the boys for making Spencer and Heidi uncomfortable for a moment.
Nicely
I'm very
done.
Pleased about that.
All right, who else do we have?
Another star of the movie, Marlon Wayans.
Now, as a talented and hardworking actor, does it infuriate you to have to share your red carpet with the likes of Heidi and Spencer?
Not at all. I'm being very kind when I say that, by the way.
If you could kill one celebrity and get away with it, who would it be?
Them damn Jonas Brothers. One room for one brother team, and that's the Wayanses.
How hot was it on set to see all those girl fights?
That wasn't hard at all. I wasn't even working those days, and I showed up.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was a cool brother.
I'm sorry, Dave.
He was a cool dude.
All right.
That's what I say.
Rachel Nichols.
Yes.
We all know has been super cool to the Kevin and Bean show, and we all know she's really good looking and all that, but she really brought it last night. I cannot believe how hot she was on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Woo.
So she made an effort to come over and talk to us. She saw the K-Rock little sign or the Kevin and Bean show sign. And
it's
everything.
Funny how that either draws people or repels people, one or the other. It's not the same.
Yeah, and she was really open, and like I said, she's a friend of the show. She was really nice. Dave and I did our best to try to steer her away from Bean,
which is
now why would you do that?
Which is the right thing to do?
Of course,
I mean that's
because we would like to continue our relationship.
That's the only option that the rest of us have
because we care about her and we want her to succeed and have a good life.
Right,
and we know that that's what she needs to do.
Correct.
I have to say, it seems like she really does have something.
Yeah,
for our island dwelling friend up there,
she's playing along.
She's just nice.
She's playing along.
Just play the clip.
You be the judge.
Well, now while you're in studio, you professed your love to Bean, but now that you're here and he's not around, you have to admit he's a creepy hunchback recluse.
Bean's a catch. What are you talking about?
Well, define catch. What really is it about him that makes him a catch? Is it the spina bifida? Is it the greasy hair?
Spina bifida and the boxer shorts he's always wearing when we do interviews. He thinks I don't know, but I do.
Dave, do you have anything to add?
Well, I notice you're not walking with anyone. Do you need a date inside? Because I'll gladly walk you in. Yeah, you know, I'll just walk you in and then leave. So,
but if my date should really stay and hold my hand all night, don't you think?
Yes, it should. And, you know.
Hi, Dave.
Well, yeah, I like to talk in the mic. But
all right, I'm gonna go.
Bye.
Wow, he's hitting on your woman, Bean.
How about that, Dave? How about I'm out of the picture for 1 second, you're hitting on my lady? I thought we were friends.
Dave? We were until I met Rachel Nichols, and we had a wonderful time.
Dave, the King of Mexico, has already stolen Bean's wife.
Yes, that's very true.
And Psycho Mike's wife.
Right.
And now he's going after Rachel Nichols. Now, you didn't go in with her.
No.
Okay.
That was no game at to the max.
That was pretty good.
Where he
good.
Got invited to actually go in somewhere and turned her down.
That was pretty good.
No kidding.
All right.
He leaves her wanting a little bit more.
Yeah.
Final interview of the night. Sienna Miller.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful woman.
She is.
Even more beautiful in person. And I think this is an interview that's going to go down in history.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave and I talking to Sienna Miller.
When filming a love scene, has a male co-star ever accidentally popped a boner?
Oh, stop it.
I just wanted to know. Really wanted to know.
That was it? What? That was it?
Yeah.
Woo! Mike, have you learned nothing? Mike. You have to save those questions for the end because they will walk away because what are they supposed to do with that?
Right.
So you ask them whatever other questions you have, and then you use that as an end. But this is
you
after.
Don't start with it.
This is after the publicist is pulling her away. She has to go into the movie, and she goes, "Oh, K Rock, I like that station." Oh, and comes right back and says, "Hi, guys." And we're like, "Oh, Miss Miller, hi!"
Man. And then, bam!
Oh,
how do you like that? When filming a love scene, has a male co-star ever accidentally popped a boner?
Oh, stop it!
I just wanted
Bye.
To know.
really wanted to know.
Wow.
And that was it. And she's gone.
Dave's like, bye.
Stop it.
And she, wow.
And she just,
and
she
that's why
it.
We're awesome.
That is a well-done interview.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bean is a huge fan of Christmas music. He loves himself the Christmas music. Every single CD that comes out with Christmas music, he gets.
Yep.
He collects it.
I do enjoy it. I do run a website, ChristmasMusicEveryday.com, which is my passion. And that's why I was so excited when you hear about an artist that you love who's never put out a Christmas record before and you find out that they're making a new one. Well, that's just a win-win for me. That's so exciting. I can't wait.
Except for this particular artist maybe should have done it back in, I don't know, his days when he was alive.
How dare you? How dare you talk about the great Bob Dylan that way? He's still making phenomenal music today, well into his 70s. And the great Mr. Dylan joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Bob. I heard Kevin and Bean, and I'm going to assume that was a greeting, and we're going to say right back at you, sir.
Now, it's hard to believe you've never done a Christmas album, huh?
No. I mean, Christmas album, because I'm this religion, and I alone.
Did not get that at all.
I think he said something about religion, but I'm out after that.
Yeah, he used to be a Jew.
Yeah, he used to be a Jew, right? Very famously, right?
Wait, if you can talk that clearly, why don't you?
What?
Huh?
So, Bob, when an artist does a Christmas album, either they're inspired and they can't wait, or it's just a cash grab because it's easy to go into a studio and record White Christmas and have people buy it and make easy money. Okay, that answers that question, I guess.
Now, you've never done that, but of course, if you're going to do a Christmas album, you got to do it in the, you know, summer months so that it's ready. And you're working on it now?
Okay,
how's the album going? What kinds of songs are going to be on it? What can you tell us about it?
Let me play some for you.
No, we don't need that. Just tell us.
You're not singing, Bob. It didn't sound like you were singing. It sounded like you were just mumbling the lyrics.
Yeah. Yes, that was, yes, whatever you said.
Maybe you were right, Kevin. Maybe you should have recorded this a few years ago.
Wow. We can't. That doesn't sound good.
I don't know who's going to buy this. You sound like you're just kind of walking through it, Bob. You don't sound very committed to the project.
I'm committed.
I don't know what he just said, but he sounds mad. Are you too tired to try and get the words out so that they can be understood?
I am singing the
words. Really? You are singing the words.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you doing any other songs that may sound better that you could tell us about?
I'm doing a modern Christmas song.
A modern Christmas song?
Yeah, and everyone knows that raised the money to sing them in Africa.
What?
They're raising money for starving people in Africa.
Raising money for starving people in Africa.
Oh, okay.
Remember is that this song?
The Do They Know It's Christmas
song,
right?
Yeah. Do they know it's Christmas at home?
Kids are going to send back the food when they hear this.
We'd rather starve.
We'd rather starve. No, don't make us listen to that anymore.
All right. Hey, Bob.
Bob, we get the gist of that one, sir.
Bob, we need to.
Hey, actually, we got to go now, Bob.
Bob, have you ever heard that song?
Congratulations, Bob. I'm sure it'll be another big hit.
All right. When are we going to start playing the English version of that song?
That's what I want to know. I thought Bob Dylan was still singing.
657 on the world famous K-Rock.
Friday morning, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
How sad is it that director John Hughes has passed away?
That's very sad.
For many of us, he made the movies that we grew up on. Not just the Home Alone trilogy. All right, everyone gets a pass once in a while.
Although that was one of the most...
Monstrous. Monstrous hit.
Huge movies ever.
Oh, I wanted to punch that little Macaulay Culkin right in the face. Didn't you?
Yes.
Didn't you have that urge?
Yeah. He was annoying. We were too old to enjoy that movie, I think, when it came out.
And then he gave us the female version of the kid you want to punch in the face, Curly Sue. Remember that one?
Sure.
Boy, I wanted to hit her with a snow shovel.
Sure.
Right in the back of the head. But he also gave us Vacation, wrote that.
One of the best movies
ever. Come on. How funny is that? 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, European Vacation, Weird Science, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller, Some Kind of Wonderful, Planes, Amazing. Trains, and Automobiles. She's Having a Baby. Did you ever see She's Having a Baby?
No.
Oh, is that funny?
That's
Kevin Bacon.
Good movie. Yeah.
Great movie.
Great movie. Just,
and by the way,
really,
if you
want
to complain about what's wrong with the Academy Awards, how about freaking John Hughes never won an Oscar? Come on.
Well, he made more crowd pleasers than he did.
But great movies that successes. Stand up today. 16 Candles is as good today as the day it came out.
It is a shame that they discount crowd pleasers.
Right.
Because they can be the best movies, too, you know?
Well, now they have 10 movies to choose from. So I'm sure they're going to sneak in a few crowd pleasers.
I hope.
10 movies they're going to choose from for best movie.
Set of five.
Thinking G.I. Joe might make it this year. That's what I'm hoping for.
Fantastic.
He was 59 years old, apparently walking down the street in Manhattan, when he had a sudden heart attack and died. I guess if you got to go, being surprised is the best way.
Yeah, I'd imagine. You don't have to...
You're not lingering, you're not laying in a hospital room someplace with everybody moping around you.
All that dread.
You just check out.
Yep.
So, although he was way too young to go, all things considered, it could have been worse. He could have had a long, lingering death like Judd Nelson's career is having right now.
Oh, man.
Who worked with John Hughes, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Poor Judd.
Poor Judd. Poor Judd is dead. Vanessa Hudgens. We talked about her nude photos that have appeared online. Turns out... You're going to have to take that bell back because these are more photos from the same shoot as the photos that were released 2 years ago were leaked on the internet.
I was hoping she was stupid all over again.
So she was underage at the time these photos were taken.
Oh, I see. So it's still scandalous.
Her reps are saying she was 17 years old when she took those photos of herself with a camera phone. And so we can't really enjoy them as much as we used to.
Right.
By the way, I would... There's no way to know, but her reps could just be saying that because that's a quick and easy way to get it pulled out off all the sites, whether it's true or not.
They are threatening legal action to any site, blog, or Facebook posting or Twitter posting that shares these photos.
Well,
so
we
keep
sure
that in mind.
Them. I'll tell you that.
Keep
we sure.
that in mind when you're trying to share them with your friends. Although, I don't care, 17 or not, when you're got your finger in your mouth and you're pouting and you got your boobs all up and everything, game on. That's all I'm saying.
That's not what the law
game
says.
Game on, whatever with the law.
Well, the law wins,
the law
though.
Should say to her, take your finger out of your mouth. Stop sucking on it like it's a lollipop and making me think bad things. Vanessa Hudgens. With
I know how babies are made, and I am so not in the mood for porn right now.
Yeah. Speaking of babies, great news. New reality show on the horizon.
Oh, good.
You familiar with Thomas Beatty?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Thomas Beatty is probably better known as the pregnant man.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
This was the broad who had the sex change operation and became a dude and married a woman named Nancy Beatty. But then Thomas Beatty, who now looks like a man, carried the baby for both of them.
And they kept saying man, but...
The pregnant man.
All right.
Sure, if you're a man with a vagina.
Right. It's a woman.
Well, there's going to be a reality show about Thomas and Nancy and their two children, and they're going to follow them around and show us the lives of the pregnant man and his wife and how they're just another normal American family.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The working title is Tom and Nancy Plus Two Vaginas.
I don't think so.
We'll wait and see.
I don't think that's the title.
No?
No.
It's John and Kate plus eight.
Well, I don't think that. I think you may have read that wrong.
Tom and Nancy
it's
plus
not
two.
Not my kind of humor.
No.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
And although Paul Abdul may be off American Idol, looks like Fox is still considering the four-judge system.
Really? They're going to add another one?
That we all hated so much last season.
Huh. Yeah, why? I mean, they have to be aware of the feedback if it took too much time to go through the judging.
Apparently, guest stars will make up the fourth judge on the panel.
They sure do get the good guest stars on that show, though.
Well, you may want to hold your tongue, mister, because apparently Katy Perry is going to be one of the first judges.
Really? It's just diabolical. And Victoria Beckham also in talks about being a guest judge. So they're bringing some high wattage star power.
Are any of them going to say...
The reason that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in the path of greatness.
Do you think?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
They won't be that good.
Yeah.
And Balthazar Getty's wife, Rosetta Millington, says she is not planning to divorce him. Balthazar Getty, by the way, was famously with Sienna Miller in Public.
Oh, yeah.
They had an affair while his wife was tending to their four children at home.
Right.
According to Us Weekly magazine, Rosetta is okay with him cheating, but just doesn't like it when he goes public with it.
I don't buy that for a second.
I don't either.
If Balthazar Getty doesn't want her, I'll take her. That's all I'm saying. That's a great wife right there.
Yeah.
Sure, cheat all you want. Just no photos in the public.
Just don't get caught.
That's right.
I think it probably has to do with their kids more than anything.
Sure.
Sienna Miller, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right?
I wonder if I had four kids, she'd try to break up my marriage. I'm not saying I'd let her. I'd just like her
you
to try.
You would let her.
I would like her to try.
Right, and you would let her.
I would just like her to try.
Right, but you would let her.
I would just like her to try.
Right.
Meanwhile, celebrity birthdays. Wayne Knight from Seinfeld's 54 years old today. Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden celebrates his 51st birthday. Dave Duchovny.
Hey, guys. I have a bet with a friend. I was wondering if you could help settle it.
All right.
Who did Mulder and Scully work for on the show The X-Files? You know, what government agency? Dane, do you have any idea?
I don't know. I don't really remember that show that well. I'm sorry.
Good answer. Move on, Ralph.
Dave Duchovny's 49 years old today. Harold Perrineau from Lost and Oz is 46. And actress, Oscar winner.
Perfect woman.
World-class beauty.
Yeah.
Charming, sensitive, intelligent. Charlize Theron celebrates her 34th birthday today, and I just wish I could do for her what she did for me that one year. Remember when she brought me a cake and a bottle of Dom Perignon?
Yes, I do.
And we had a long, lingering evening together.
And if she wanted you to do that back, I'm sure she would have gotten in touch with you.
You know, she keeps filing these restraining orders.
Right.
Whatever they, whatever that means.
That's not she worth calls the paper. Them restraining orders. You call them love letters, though, right?
Not worth the paper they're printed on, in my opinion. But for some reason, I am discouraged from dropping in on Charlize and visiting her.
That's not right.
No, it isn't. Because it takes all the fun out of it, the surprise, if you have, you know, get the lawyers involved.
Sure.
And I have to give her 6 months' notice.
Yeah, that's not right.
That's not a surprise.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right now, we'd like to welcome to the studio our latest guest. She is perhaps the bravest woman in America because she has maintained a marriage with K-Rock's Kevin for how many years now? I don't even know. Ladies and gentlemen, Melissa joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Melissa, how are you still alive? How do you do it? How do you put up with this boy?
I have no idea.
It's a dream.
I'm not in the dream.
It's a dream.
I live in the dream.
Maybe this is why you have so many extracurricular activities. Maybe this is why you're so busy all the time outside of the house and away from Kevin, because I know you got another big project happening this weekend.
I do. We always have a project.
This is friendsandhelpers.org. That's that's the charity that we ran.
Or.com. Either one works.
We started it in our home. And when I say we run it, I mean she runs it.
Yes.
It's a 501c3, so it's an official IRS charity.
Which
and,
means you can write off anything that you donate.
And the one thing that I always like to point out is that the IRS, for some reason, only makes you give 5% of the money to the actual cause. So you can use 95% of the money that you raise for overhead and salaries and bills and stuff like that.
And that's where you got the new pool, right?
And that's and that to us seems criminal.
Yeah.
So we made sure that all of those costs are taken care of. So 100% of the help that people give us goes to the actual people.
There can't be many, many charities that do that.
And we do a lot of things throughout the year. But the two that we like to highlight, we usually come in during Christmas and talk to you about that. And also back to school. This is our back to school drive.
And our back to school drive, there's two things going on that the K-Rock listeners can get involved with. First of all, tomorrow, Kevin is going to be at Galpin Autosports from noon to 2. And you can get that information on our website, or also you can call in here, and the phone ops have that. And then next Friday we're having
Let me just butt in. That's for a drop-off point. If you have some back-to-school items or you want to donate money or whatever, you can stop by there. It's the Roscoe exit off the 405.
Yeah, it's in North Hills.
And drop stuff off.
Yeah. Yes, and there's going to be a free barbecue as well. And then next Friday, August 14th, from 9 to 5, we're having a backpack party. And you can come and help us fill backpacks, and you can bring back-to-school supplies. And we're having an awesome raffle, so you can donate there. And if you go, we have a list of everything that we need. And literally for $5, you can get so many back-to-school supplies and really help change a child's life.
This is for people that that haven't heard. This is for the victims of abuse, of domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they don't have, usually when they run with nothing but the shirts on their back, is money to get any kind of school supplies.
Aww.
So they don't have a backpack. They don't have the items that they need to go back to school. So we're putting together, is it 3,000 back?
Our number keeps going up. It's 3,000 because in this economy, people are having such a hard time. And, you know, when you go to school, the parents want their kids to feel as normal as possible. And when you stand out like a sore thumb, if you don't have the right backpack and you're going back to school. So we just want to help them feel normal any way that we can. And by providing them with a backpack and all their school supplies, we're doing that. And you can help us. We need you to help us do that.
And you can just go to the website and you can sponsor a backpack.
Yes, sponsoring a backpack is fantastic. You go right to our website. It's one click. Mm-hmm. And $20, you sponsor a backpack completely.
Awesome.
And, you know, there's so many of us out there that are so fortunate. And $20 and you change a kid's life.
It is shocking how little it takes sometimes to do a lot of good. And
yeah.
So it's like notebooks and rulers and markers and scissors and, you know, book folders, all the stuff that kids would need to go back to school. If you want to drop that off tomorrow, we will be there at noon at, yes, Galpinato Sports.
And then, I hear there will be food.
Then there will be barbecue.
There will be a barbecue.
That's what I heard.
Which, I mean, you're going to get free barbecue and you can just come and give us money. You don't even have to go to the store. We'll do the shopping for you. We're more than happy to do that.
And then the backpack party is next Friday, 1 week from today, from 9 to 5 at the Tarzana Community and Cultural Center, 19130 Ventura Boulevard in Tarzana. And we'll put that information up on our website as well.
Yes.
But our charity website is friendsandhelpers.org. You spell out and, friendsandhelpers.org, and you can go there.
Or .com.
And donate. Or .com, right.
Kevin, people who come by to see you tomorrow at Galpin, are you going to be autographing copies of your new DVD, of your big screen motion picture debut?
Probably not.
You know what? We want people to show up.
I don't want
to. Don't ruin it for us,
I don't want to overwhelm Galpin.
But maybe you could just reenact for that, that scene of yours.
Will you make that generous offer to the K-Rock listeners? If they come by, will you redo the scene that you did in the movie for them?
I can't
bump into them and say, sorry.
I can't do it as well, but yes.
You know what? That only took him like 47 takes, so let's not get him. Also, we want to thank Galpin because they always support us. And if you go to certain Pete's Coffees, they have a drop-off point too.
Oh, really?
And OPI as well. And, you know, again, we are doing this. Lisa May knows we started this in our kitchen of our old house.
Yeah.
And literally, if you only have $5 or if you can only come help next Friday, we would love for you to come help us. 3,000 backpacks is going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
And we're happy to have you if all you can give us is your time. So everybody can help. And you can bring your kids. I want to make sure that the K-Rock listeners know that. You can bring your kids and so that you can start teaching them at a young age that they can help.
Yeah,
all right, Adam Carolla is here and he's angry. So we got to...
This is very cool, you guys.
We got to move along. But it's always humbling how great the K-Rock audience is.
Yes.
And how giving people are. Yeah. And if you'd like to help, go to friendsandhelpers.org or .com. And we'll put all the information up on our website
and
as well.
Thanks, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's get it on!
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Carolla joining us in studio on the Saturday Show.
Get it on.
How are you, Ace Man? On.
Well, I'm a little upset about John Hughes.
Yeah?
Oh, I mean, I'm a big fan. I don't mind. I don't, you know, he's 59, relatively young, did all that great wholesome family stuff, you know. We all love the movies. One of the greatest cinematic characters ever is Chet from Weird Science.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was awesome. You're stewed, Buttwad! That guy, the guy just did stellar work, but I'll tell you why I'm upset.
Okay.
John Hughes, the great John Hughes, gone at 59.
Mm-hmm.
John Waters, hack and sodomite, still here, still probably behind his man right now. It's 63. Probably
doesn't
got his
fair,
name
does
on
it?
Some guy's back right now, thinking of his next way to offend the middle of the country. The guy who thought it'd be a good idea to have trannies eat dog flop, still going strong. Going strong. And by he does not get credit. Like, where's your thing where it's, hey, John Hughes doesn't get credit for all the movies he wrote and all the great movies he directed. John Waters doesn't get credit for being a colossal hack.
Yeah.
He really is horrible. Crybaby. You didn't think Johnny Depp could be bad in a movie until Crybaby. I didn't think it was physically possible for Johnny Depp to suck in a starring film role
right.
until Crybaby. His movies are horrible. He's a hack. If you took the guy, and you know why he gets away with it? He's gay, he's kitschy, and we're all too scared to say anything. If you took that guy down, first off, like to take an eraser and get rid of that guy's mustache.
Well, it's not a mustache.
Exactly. Right. It's a little eyeliner.
Right.
You took that guy down to Fantastic Sam's and got him a regular haircut, shaved the mustache, put some sweatpants on him, and made him go straight for a week. You know what you'd have? Unfunny hack. That's all you'd have is an unemployable guy. But, ooh, he's so kitschy. Ooh, we're so enamored with him. Look at him. Oh, he likes architecture from the 50s. Ooh, he's such a talent. Don't we all just see that's a smokescreen? What did John Hughes do? Nothing. He was just a regular guy with a regular haircut, regular frames, and he was wearing Dockers. Why? Why wasn't he kitschy? Why wasn't he weird? He was talented.
Yeah, he made good movies.
He could write.
Good point. Yeah.
He didn't have to hide behind the pencil mustache and the pomade and the seersucker suit. No, those guys have all that crap. It's like when you see Carrot Top dragging that trunk out on stage, and you think, why has he got that huge trunk? Because there's nothing in this trunk. I'm pointing at my head right now. Yeah. The trunk here, baby. The trunk between your ears. There's nothing there. So yeah. You need the smoke, and you need the mirrors, and that's what these guys do. But we just go along with it. Oh, yeah, John Waters. Yeah, he's fine. No, he sucks, and he should be dead, and John Hughes should be alive. He outlived him by 4 years, and that's if he died tonight.
Yeah, that's true.
Jesus, he sucks, and no one says anything.
So how your question to distill it for us, Adam? How is the Ferris Bueller's Day Off guy dead? The hairspray guy still alive? That's what your question
right,
is to me.
Right, and of course it proves once again no God, because
if
there's
there was,
the guy
it wouldn't
who,
be happening this way.
This guy made trains, planes, and automobiles,
funniest
and all
movie
these
ever.
All these family oriented movies and all that stuff. And he's gone, struck down in his prime, and the guy with the trannies and the fecal matter is going out tonight. He's going to an Outback Steakhouse tonight and having a blooming onion,
and he's going to be celebrated as an auteur.
That's right, right. So
once again, you were able to put it in perspective. Very well done. All right, we have to take a quick break. Adam Carolla is here, adamcarolla.com, for all of his very popular podcasts. We'll return with The Week in Rage right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. The Ace Man is here, Adam Carolla, adamcarolla.com, with two huge iTunes podcasts, his regular podcast with special guest stars and the new car podcast, both doing great. Check them out. He is here with This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage. All right, number three, people, and we all know these people, who deny they snore. You know, you wake them up and you go,
yeah.
Hey, man, you're snoring. And they go, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And you're like, yeah, that's just what I do. I lie there in utter silence like I'm in outer space. But I decide to wake up people next to me and accuse them of something they weren't doing when they were sound asleep. And then the next day you talk to them like, hey, man, I did this with Kimmel. Remember back in the day when we used to travel, like, Jimmy, you snore. I don't snore.
Yeah. I don't know how people think they know.
First off, you're unconscious, right. Obviously. Secondly, how big a dick would I have to be to then carry that conversation into breakfast? You know, you're still snoring, man. No, I'm not. What kind of colossal a-hole? What kind of, and by the way, what's my agenda? I want you to kill yourself.
I don't know.
I want you to get one of those Breathe Right strips and wear it before you go to bed. Like, what? Of course. Of course you snore. I heard you all last night.
Right.
I had the pillow over my head. You were sawing logs all night. No, I don't.
That is a strange denial.
It'd be nice. Be nice if we could carry that into things like farting. Just me and Kevin alone in an elevator. Hey, Adam, you just farted. No, I didn't. Did not.
The problem with that is you love to take credit for that.
I know.
That's the problem. But sorry,
you would never deny that.
The fist pump, the Kirk Gibson fist pump would be a giveaway. But I'm just saying, what else do you do? Hey, you have bad breath. No, I don't. No, I don't.
Yeah, it is a strange
It's
denial.
The only thing where you get to say, and it's the only thing you're not awake for. So obviously, it's hard to mount a defense. All right. If someone says you're snoring, there's a good chance you're a snorer. And then there's these people. I may snore, but I'm not a snorer.
What does that mean?
It's like I've killed a few people, but I'm not a murderer. All right, Kimmel, you snore. Now, where was I?
Number two.
All right, you've heard me complain about this one before, possibly on Loveline, possibly everywhere I've ever been, but there's a new twist on it that I didn't think about. Passion fruit iced tea is now taking the place of iced tea. You can no longer get iced tea. I mean, I went to a restaurant the other day, and I said, do you have iced tea? And they said, yeah, we have iced tea. And I said, is it regular iced tea? And the guy said, yeah, it's regular iced tea. And then he brought me a tumbler of what was boiled potpourri, because that's what passion fruit iced tea.
I'm so with you on it this, Adam.
It's not iced tea. That's the whole thing. Like, you order iced tea, then they give you something other than iced tea. By the way, is iced tea not proven? Is it a flash in the pan? I mean, I feel like it's been around for 200 years. The founding fathers were drinking iced tea when they were penning the Declaration of Indiana or whatever the hell they were. Yeah. I don't know where they did it. Right. The point is this.
You don't know if they drink iced tea.
There's nothing more American than iced tea, especially during the summertime, the sun tea. Nope. Now when you say, all right, so you have the passion fruit. Don't want the passion fruit. Give me the regular iced tea. They go, we don't have that. We just have the passion fruit.
Really? I had no idea.
Completely out of it.
And they act like you're the crazy one that you just want iced tea. Like, why wouldn't you want the passion iced tea? Because they think it's so much better. And it's crap. I hate it and will never drink it.
Greatest moment of my life. I was at, again, way above having my twins or getting married or any of that stuff. I was at the Callenders, the Marie Callenders on Wilshire. And I was arguing with the waitress. And she says, you know, most people prefer the passion fruit iced tea. And I said, I can't believe most people would prefer something they didn't think they were ordering. And she said, they do. They do. Most people like it. I said, really? Iced tea is its own flavor. And she said, they do. Most people like it. And the woman behind me in the table next to me said, oh, excuse me, is it passion fruit iced tea? And she said, yes, it is. She said, oh, I'll have a Diet Coke. And I said, yes. Another satisfied customer, bitch.
Exactly.
Now, here's the even deeper, more maniacal twist. Okay. What is to become of the Arnold Palmer? What has this done to the Arnold Palmer?
That's a good
question.
So
I go to the restaurant, I order the iced tea, I get the passion fruit, that's effed up. My buddy orders the Arnie Palmer, that's now destroyed. You passion fruiters have destroyed two good American drinks. The most American of all drinks, the Arnold Palmer and the iced tea, gone now because of your passion for such passionate fruit.
Now, the Arnold Palmer, we should mention for folks who don't recognize the name, is half iced tea, half lemonade. And if you're screwing with the iced tea, clearly the Arnold Palmer is not going to taste good either.
You've screwed with half of Arnold Palmer.
You don't want to do that.
It's now just a Palmer or an Arnold.
Yeah.
It's a gay Arnold Palmer. You've screwed it up.
I didn't realize we'd gotten to the point in America where you can't get iced tea. I didn't
realize
that.
Cannot get it.
Wow.
Nope. All right. And number one, we're looking for a new police chief.
Yes.
Yeah.
Branton's on the way out, and we're looking for someone new. Now, listen, I don't want to run this year.
You don't want to this year?
Not this year.
Not after your last experience?
No, I want to spend more time with my family. When I say family, I mean Lamborghinis. But I just have a couple of words of advice. I just have just some suggestions for whoever takes over. Whoever, I just want them to take care of a few things. First off, stop raping taxpayers. You know, all the no front license plate and the rolling through the four-way stop sign. Leave us alone. We pay taxes. Leave us alone. Let's make a pact to go after criminals this time around.
I got a no front license plate ticket not too long ago.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Feels good, especially when they do that thing. Hey, we're understaffed. We're understaffed. Really? Tell that to the guy that gave me the chicken-ass no-front license plate ticket, because he seemed to have plenty of time on his hands. No, we don't have enough guys to put him down at the port. Really? Because there's a motorcycle cop waiting up Beachwood for the soccer moms to drive through the four-way stop sign every single goddamn day. But no, we don't have enough guys. But here's what I'm really focused on, and I want the guy to carry a bat. I don't care if he uses. I want to be like Joe Don Baker from Walking Tall.
A bat.
I don't care if he uses it. Just hold the bat.
Okay.
That says law and order to me.
Okay.
All right. Last but not least, I want them to help out my good friends in West Hollywood, the sheriff's department. The guys with the gay flag on the side of the cruiser. Have you seen this? There is a gay flag on the side of the cop cars for the sheriff cop cars in West LA.
What is the gay flag?
Do you have the pictures
you have
there?
It right there.
There is a picture of the gay flag. Those are all the colors. I brought them because I know you think I was insane. Those are all the colors of the gay flag. You can go online and look it up.
Wow.
Then you go to the West Hollywood Sheriff's Department and look on the side of the cruiser. It's a gay flag. It's a jumbled gay flag, but it is all the colors of the gay flag on the side of the cop car. Do you think when these guys left the police academy, they were hoping they could drive the Rainbow Mobile? You know what it looks like when you're pulling over some gangbangers and you're getting them out of the car and they're like spread them and they're leaning against your car and they're like, hey, SA, what is this car of AIDS? You have a gay flag on your car.
I'm just saying,
there is vehicular AIDS.
There isn't.
There is.
There's no
Look it up. Look it up.
You can't.
Look it up.
There's no
Look
such
it up.
All right. I don't know how to come
look
back.
Look it up.
All right, I'll look it
all right.
Up.
All right. The point is this. I don't want to see my cruiser with a super Jolly Roger on the side of it. And I don't want to hear the argument from my gay friends who go, well, you know, large part of their constituency over there is homosexual, and thus they represent blah, blah, blah. Well, last I checked, Glendale was 90% Armenian. Do we have the Armenian flag on the side of the Glendale cruisers? No.
That's a good point.
Not that they have a flag. I think it's just a pita bread with some hummus smeared on it or something. But either way, even if they had a flag, it would not be on the side of the cruiser.
Yeah, that's
the
true.
American flag. That's what we put on the side of a cruiser. All right, I'm angry. I'm out.
Well, all right. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:53.
Movie beat for you next hour, plus why my wife and I are having troubles, by the way. I'm going to talk about it in about 10
surprise.
Minutes or so. There's something she wants me to do that I am unwilling to do. I know you find that hard to believe because I'm generally very accommodating.
Sex?
But we will talk about that coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph has the showbiz beat. What's going on?
That means Bean's run out of the sedative. He usually slips into her food. That's what I'm telling you. She's starting to come around.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. Where am I? I'm married to who?
What?
Let's talk about the showbiz news, shall we? More details coming out about Paula Abdul and her very public fight with American Idol producers regarding how much money she was making. You know, she quit famously via her tweet.
Yep.
On Twitter.com. Well, we're starting to learn now that she wasn't making the $2 to $3 million per year as previously reported, but now we find out she was making $8 million a season.
Are you kidding me?
And wanted a 50% raise, according to Life and Style magazine. She wanted to go from 8 to 12.
I can see. Wow.
I would like someone to pay me $8 million to take painkillers and make fun of people who can't sing. I would like that job.
I can
I'll
see,
take it.
I can see how the Ryan Seacrest thing, when he got $15 million a year, I can see how that would play with your head. I really can.
But he is
mentally.
The voice and face of that show.
But still, I can see how it would.
He at least is the air traffic controller who moves the show along. She just has to sit there until someone says, Paula.
Yeah. No, I agree, but I'm saying I can see why she would think that way, but you certainly would stop short of giving up the job.
But a rational person goes, all right, that's crazy, but look what I'm making.
Right.
Yeah.
Period.
I'm bummed. I'd rather make more.
Sure.
But I'll
but
just
come
settle.
On.
The reason that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in the path of greatness.
Well, Paula has decided not to dance in the path of greatness. She's leaving the show. Friends say, however, that since that decision, she's been having, and this is a quote, daily meltdowns.
Yeah. Oh, like that hasn't been happening her whole life.
I'm glad to see that things haven't changed for Paula, and it's business as usual. She hasn't let this thing affect her at all.
Did her reality show get any ratings at all? Just
not
Paula?
Not very good.
Got a lot of laughs.
But yeah. I was fascinated.
It was a disaster.
It was.
Wrigley Chewing Gum has announced they are ending their association with singer Chris Brown in the wake of his conviction for beating former girlfriend Rihanna.
Nice.
He was a spokesperson for Doublemint Gum. I don't know if you guys saw that commercial or not.
I did.
However, the good news is Chris has picked up an endorsement deal by Everlast Boxing Gloves.
Oh.
Which I think is great.
Come on.
No,
seems
I mean,
inappropriate.
I'm appropriate. Look.
That's not right.
God closes a door, he opens
I don't
a window.
Think that was
I've
God.
Always said that.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan's in the news.
Yeah.
According to pictures in this week's Us Weekly magazine, Lindsay has a new tattoo.
A new tattoo.
On the inside of her right arm, surrounded by little stars, she has the phrase, I restore myself when I'm alone. People are saying it's just a small part of a larger tattoo she plans on getting, which completely reads, I restore myself when I'm alone until I run out, and then my dealer restores me. Has she just given up on a career in any fashion?
I sure don't know.
She seems to be doing a lot of things other than trying to be an actress.
She's a beautiful girl and a pretty
and
good
talented,
actress.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
She's coming out of clubs late at night pouring water on the paparazzi, and she's getting tattoos.
I don't know.
I think maybe Britney Spears' father needs to become her conservator.
Right now, it seems as if the only role she is competing for is that of Angeline. Like, she wants to take over the role of that 4,000-year-old woman who drives the pink Corvette, you
yeah.
know, that one?
That doesn't really do anything?
Right, who's just kind of famous for being famous. Get back to work, Lindsay. Heidi Klum is done.
Done what?
She tells Us Weekly magazine that after she gives birth to her fourth child from Seal, the shop will be closed. The shop will be closed, she says.
Meaning no more sex?
I hope that's what it means for Seal's
for Seal's benefit.
Might mean no more babies.
I would like that shop just to be under new management.
Yes. Yes.
I would like it not to close. I would just
the
like to. I would like to take over as general manager of the Heidi Klum shop and do some renovating.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Get a jackhammer in there. Break things up a little bit.
And you figured out a way to do that without her getting pregnant every single time, too, which apparently Seal can't
what?
Do.
What? That's possible?
Well, seals do have large litters. That's true.
That must be what it is.
Yeah. Can't deny that. And Patrick Swayze is just a stud. Just the man.
Well, I saw him fight the Russians, and that was enough for me.
And he took on Drago.
Yes.
Right? In Dirty Dancing 4. Oh, no, wait a minute. I might be confusing.
Oh, that's Rocky.
My films, yeah. He is doing great. Photos of him the other day, of him looking much healthier, less frail. His hair seems to be growing back. He, of course, is still battling pancreatic cancer, but I've never seen anybody fight a disease harder. He is truly
a stud.
That's
good news.
Yeah. He is working on a new book, according to insiders, and has just got himself a new 12-week-old puppy, a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Optimism, that's what that is.
Yeah, I had to take a year to decide to get a puppy when I was healthy.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I wanted to take on that responsibility. But Patrick Swayze keeps fighting the good fight. Keeps kicking cancer right in the nads.
Good for him.
Well, pain don't hurt, Ralph.
That's true. I'll tell you to be nice until it's time not to be nice.
These are Patrick Swayze movie lines that are
go home and watch Roadhouse this afternoon. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Wayne Knight from Seinfeld. Newman. He's 54 years old today. It's a great thing about being fat. You don't look that old. You don't age because all that fat puffs up your skin. You don't get wrinkles and stuff. The one benefit of being fat. Looks pretty good for 54. I wouldn't have guessed 54 for Newman.
No, I don't think so either.
Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden is 51 years old today. David Duchovny. He, of course, is the star of The X-Files and currently can be seen in Californication on Showtime.
Ralph, I got a request from a Kevin Bean listener named Jay. Wants to know if we have 20 seconds. Would you mind if we hear the all-time classic Dave Duchovny interview as conducted on this program?
Oh, sure.
Okay, now, the question is, do you believe in extraterrestrial beings out there?
Now, that is just the lamest question. My God, can't you think of anything better than that?
Would you like to go into outer space? I don't know.
I'm just sitting there hoping you get abducted.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the legendary Big Tad he used to work for us here on the Kevin Bean Show.
That hurts my feelings. That insults me that you would play that. You know, I worked really hard on the red carpet with Dave last night, and I can't live up to that.
Right.
Why would you hurt my feelings?
To make you feel bad.
And just rub my face in the fact that, you know, you used to have that.
The bar is set at limbo stick level.
That's right.
And yet you still cannot clear it. That's what we're telling you. Harold Perrineau from Lost and Oz is 46 years old today, and I love her so much.
You do, yeah.
No one has even come close to knocking her off the top of the hill for me when it comes to beauty, grace, talent. The lovely Miss Charlize Theron celebrates her 34th birthday today.
She is. She's got it all.
She really does. That's a phrase that's used a lot in the world when you talk about someone being the whole package. But she is a goddess.
Bean, what do you think about her?
Girl, when are you going to let me tap that ass?
I don't think that's ever going to happen, sir. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It'd be funny if it did, though, wouldn't it?
No.
You guys seem to think this is hilarious. You guys are just laughing it up during the song.
Does your wife know who she's married to?
That's my point. And apparently not, because apparently Donna is miffed as to why I will not take a tango dance class with her.
Poor Donna. You'll never do anything with her.
Right, but she...
It's the saddest life ever.
But she
You're
knows
no
that about
fun.
Bean.
I know, but she tries.
He doesn't like people. He doesn't like to go out. He doesn't like to have people over to his house. He goes on vacation without her because he picks bad places. I mean, she should know by now that the person on this earth that would tango less than Bean does not exist.
If she'd ever
I do not look like
that,
a tangoer. He's not a tangoer.
She wouldn't have married him. But, I would pay to see Bean try to tango.
Oh, Bean, you got to try and tango. Throw her a bone.
Just for
I don't
us.
Want to tango.
Throw look, her a bone.
Here's what happened. And maybe some of the Kevin and Bean listeners can weigh in if they've had a similar discussion. Here's what the problem is, the stupid Dancing with the Stars and then the stupid So You Think You Can Dance. That's got housewives all over America sitting in front of their TV going, oh, we should do that. Look how fun and romantic and sensual that is. Let's go do that. And that's exactly what's happening here. And there's just an explosion of people wanting to dance now.
But how does she watch those shows and then not think, but I'm married to Bean? So that's
what I think.
I got a theory. Because all those people Dancing with the Stars, they all got in amazing shape.
Oh, is this her trying to tell them to get in shape?
This is her trying to get you to exercise without you noticing.
Look, here's the thing.
That's what I think.
Kevin exaggerates slightly. There are plenty of things that I would be willing to go do. I mean,
like
if she said, hey, I want to take a painting class, I would go take a painting class with her. Or if she wanted to learn archery or just something that's not stupid. You know what I mean?
Something that has no romance attached to it.
But tango? I'm not going to tango.
Dude,
I'm just not going to tango.
I think you would be a good tangoer.
I think. You know, seeing them dance, too, because she's like 5 foot.
She's 5 foot, and he's 6'9" with scoliosis. It brings him down to 6 foot. That would be great. Come on, Bean.
But I mean, look, I understand that you have to some when you're married, and we've been married a long time now, you have to do stuff that you don't want to do. You have to go. I mean, I got to go to a dinner thing tomorrow night that I have no interest in going, but I'm being a good sport and I'm playing along and I'm going. And I don't want to go, but I'm going.
And by being a good sport, he means he's been torturing her for 2 weeks over it. Oh, I sure don't want to go to that dinner.
Of course.
Wow, is that going to suck?
Trying to interject a little fun and romance back in your marriage. Give the girl some help, for God's sakes.
We're long past fun and romance.
Well,
at this
clearly.
Do the
long
tango.
She
I'm not going
to
tango.
To stand on his feet.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bean and his wife now competing in the tango. You see Bean in that outfit, hair slipped back,
shirt open. I'm willing to do, look, I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. I think that's basically what
wow.
it says.
Like, oh, I hate you right now.
I can take that back.
That was appropriate. That was an appropriate remark. I'm just saying, am I obligated to dance? If it's something that I hate more than anything in the world, is it fair to ask me to go do it? Maybe that's another way to look at the question. There are a million activities she could suggest. Dance is so near the very, very bottom of what I'm willing to do.
It's the opposite of you, which is why it would be awesome.
Yes.
We need video of you. Look, you already have your own crew on America's Best Dance Crew. You could just use some of your skills there. Turn it into the tango, man.
But you're saying it would be awesome because of the comedic value of seeing how bad
yes.
I would be at it.
Yes.
I'm saying from my perspective, it's been a long week already. The last thing I want to do tonight on a Friday night, instead of sitting at home watching Eureka, which is my plan, is to be out there trying to dance. It would be horrible. I would have a bad time and she would have a bad time because I was having a bad time.
Right, but only if you pout and throw a temper tantrum.
Yeah, what if you gave it an honest to God try?
You got to go in with an open mind, Bean. You got to say, this might be fun, and then if I'm just for her sake, I'm going to do it.
Who knows?
But can't I see pretty far out that it wouldn't be fun and
yes,
that I wouldn't enjoy it? It
of
wouldn't
course.
Be good.
It would be horrible for you.
It would be a disaster,
the
right?
The people there are fun and the instructor is fun. It really could be fun.
Yeah, I don't buy any
no.
of that. No, it's not
no.
going to be fun. No, I'm not saying
be.
It's going to be fun. I'm saying don't do it. I mean, do it, but hide your hatred. Hide it.
Let's talk to Sean. He's on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Maybe he can help me out because apparently he does dance. And by the way, well, let's hear what Sean has to say first. Sean, welcome to the show. What's going on?
I don't think the phones are working.
What? What?
There are a bunch of people on hold, but I can't go to them. I don't know why.
All right, well, that doesn't help us even
yeah, not
bit.
At all.
Because, look.
Husband is fire chief, and he wants to dance, is what Lisa was going to say. So he's a stud.
Okay, but here's the thing. The people who want to dance, I mean, that's what they're into. They enjoy that. It's not torture for them. It's something they want to do. I'm the opposite of that. I'm trying to figure out if there's any reason why I should go do it, even though I hate it.
If we could talk to Sean, he would tell us that he's a ballroom dancer.
Yes.
And he says it's the next best thing to
really?
Sex because you're pretty much having sex with your clothes on.
And you don't do that.
Right.
So this would be good.
Yes, Lightning. Can I help you with the?
I will buy a plane ticket right now
to videotape,
and I will fly up there.
Yes,
I'll be at noon. I'll be in the air.
Bean, you got to throw her a bone, dude. You got to. How about this? How about you say, "Listen, you know it's clear I don't want to do it, and I would be miserable. But I love you, and I will do it once. I'll try it."
Once.
What I do instead is, I love you, and I won't do it once. That's what
right,
I do.
But
well, we're suggesting but, just once. Just
but there's
try
a
it.
There's a million things I'd be happy to go do with Donna if she wanted
right,
to.
Right, but this is what she wants
dancing
to do.
Dancing sucks so
dude,
bad.
You would be so good. Sorry, I couldn't
can't
finish
even
that.
Do it.
And there's no way. This isn't one of those things where I just don't know I might like it. You guys got to at least admit that you're lying when you say that.
Of course.
You know I'm going to hate it.
Of
okay.
course you're going to hate it.
How about this? How about get Donna to do something she doesn't want to do in exchange?
Like, that's not her whole life.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Come on.
Well, I suspect I haven't heard the end of it. I just wanted... I just wanted to let you know that that's where we're at right now, is she wants to go tonight and she wants me to go with, because apparently it's one of these deals where you have to have a partner of the opposite sex. You can't, like, she can't go with a girlfriend, in other words.
Right. Being in a tuxedo with tails. Oh, and that bow tie.
With you that see look on his face.
Snapping his head around and looking at people. That would be awesome.
It's
Come
not
on.
For me, guys. It's not for me.
No,
I'm
it
sorry.
Isn't, but do it for her once. Just say once.
I'm not going
to
go.
I'll do it once, but if I don't like it, you have to stop bringing it up. That's what you said.
Yeah. There you go.
Let's buy Lightning a plane ticket.
Absolutely. Done.
All right. So we're all good?
Yeah.
No.
It is Friday. Ralph is here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry. I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting batch of movies opening at Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Let's take a look at a couple of them, shall we? In limited release here in Los Angeles and New York is a new movie, which I hadn't heard about until this week, but now I really want to see it, called Cold Souls, starring Paul Giamatti, one of my favorite actors in the world.
He is great.
In this film, Paul Giamatti plays an actor named Paul Giamatti.
What?
Who is participating in a production of Chekhov's play Uncle Vanya, and apparently he feels bogged down by the role, so he goes to a company that removes your soul and stores it for you. Do you remember the Being John Malkovich?
Oh yeah,
movie. This is seems very reminiscent of that concept.
So
to
you'll
me.
So he'll go do the play, but his soul won't be there, so he won't hate it or care
right, exactly,
or remember.
Yeah, he'll just be sort of working on autopilot.
That sounds awesome.
I saw him on Jon Stewart last night, Paul Giamatti. He was so funny about it, and they talked about how his soul is the size of a chickpea. He said, "Yes, it's just a tan legume."
Oh my God, that would be great.
The soul gets misplaced, and chaos ensues as they try to track it down.
Excellent.
And then we get to see how he operates without a soul, pretty much.
That's
a limited
awesome.
Release. You can check that out. Also, of course, opening this weekend, Julie and Julia.
Yes! That's my Julia.
Yes!
My Julia child.
Who's got the keys to the basement,
no.
by the way?
Yeah, no kidding.
I am allowed to have an opinion.
Says who?
No.
Everyone else
It's
is.
Never been that way.
Right, exactly. You better read your contract, lady.
I wish I had a contract.
Julia Child, the famous TV chef.
That.
Cooks a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
He's not bad.
Has a fascinating life.
And then Julie, who's in modern day times.
Right.
Cooks the stuff that she already cooked.
Right.
And writes a blog about it. Don't you see, Kevin, how this is the feel-good movie of the year?
Ralph, you're a hater, too.
And that's the movie?
I'm so disappointed.
Where does
in you.
The movie part come in?
They film it all. If that means anything, they point a camera towards all the stuff that happens.
It
so
might
you record it on film.
Be
so you
about their lives.
You already described
know, but
the
I
movie.
Yeah, that would be
it's
the,
about
the
their,
movie.
Their lives.
Here's a scene from Julie and Julia where Julia discusses with her husband Stanley Tucci what she will do after the war, World War II.
Hello, I'm fat and I need to make some recipes. My life sucks, so I'm going to make recipes that she made and then I'm going to blog about it. This is so funny because I like to make recipes. I'm going to blog about those recipes and this is going to be a good movie.
Well, that's not Julia Child
wow.
at all.
That's not the clip?
That doesn't sound good at all.
I have the actual clip.
Shouldn't I find something to do? I saw a notice on the bulletin board at the embassy. Hat making lessons.
You like hats?
I do.
What is it that you really like to do?
Eat.
I know. And you're so good at it. Look at you. Now,
growing
how good you
in
are.
Front of you.
Are you kidding
They're
me?
They're so cute together.
Are you
I love
kidding
that
me?
First, she dismisses the hat making. Thank God, because we wouldn't have her
but then
French
she,
chef television program if she just made hats. But she loves hats, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But instead, she decides to become a chef because she likes to eat.
And then she says, I like to eat, and they laugh for a half an hour about that.
They so are cute. Some funny, funny people.
Come on.
Those
them.
Childs.
Wow, this
Paul
looks terrible.
And Julia.
It's the best.
Worst movie ever.
Not even close.
This is close.
Oh!
Wow.
Sorry.
Perfect Getaway opens this weekend. Steve Zahn!
This looks great.
Mila Jovovich, Timothy Oliphant, a pair of newlyweds, Steve and Mila. They're on Hawaiian Island for their honeymoon on vacation. And some other couples come along.
and people start turning up dead.
That doesn't sound good.
And these travelers who are all traveling together must start to suspect one another about who is actually responsible for these murders. It doesn't sound like a very relaxing vacation to me at all.
Nope.
Here's a scene from The Perfect Getaway where Steve Zahn and his wife, as I mentioned, played by Mila Jovovich, they are running. Well, Mila wants to run away from their camping friends, as you
right.
can imagine. Steve Zahn here is trying to talk her out of it.
These two have graduated to the official crazy category. You know that, right?
Let's just pack our bags and get out of here. We can make some excuse.
What, like what? Like, we think you're the killers?
No. What do you suggest?
I think we have to ride this thing out. Keep Nick talking. Keep him thinking he's going to be the star of some Hollywood movie. Keep them both happy so that everybody gets to the beach alive.
Does everyone get to the beach alive?
I'm thinking not.
Hmm.
If people are already dying, I think maybe I'm with the wife on this one. Just get the F off the island, right?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Pansy. Run like a girl, of course. And I broke my usual standards this week and actually went to see one of the movies.
That is not allowed.
That we're reviewing.
That's the thing about the Movie Beat is you don't see the movies.
I know, but I couldn't resist it. I had an opportunity last night to catch G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Yeah!
And I'm telling you something, forget all the stuff you're hearing. There's also all this negative buzz, and people are bitching and moaning, and people are reviewing it. Ooh, it's not good. F them. I saw it last night and loved it.
Awesome.
The 10-year-old boy inside of me, I mean, like the 10-year-old boy, you know, that
what?
I used to be.
Oh, okay.
Just was enthralled with this film.
Did your cobra rise when you saw Rachel Nichols
How
and Sienna Miller?
Dare you. This movie is exactly what you think it's going to be.
Excellent.
It is a live-action cartoon, but the best part about it, it has no pretenses about being anything else. It gives you a good, old-fashioned, cartoony action film adventure ride, and I'll tell you, the action sequences are remarkable, the special effects are terrific, but the story is actually pretty strong, too. It reminds me of like an old-fashioned Bond movie, where you've got this villain who wants to take over the world, and he's got a hidden fortress that's under the sea, and they have to invade it, and you've got a bunch of cool superhero types with a bunch of great gadgets. It is a great popcorn movie, a great way to spend 2 hours, I'm telling you. I really enjoyed it.
Does someone blog about cooking?
No one blogs, oddly enough. They're busy saving the world!
Okay.
All your favorite characters are in it. Breaker, Hawk, Scarlet, Snake Eyes, Covergirl, Duke, Heavy Duty. I was hoping for some of the lesser-known G.I. Joe characters
with,
make
like
an
what?
Appearance. Like Tollbooth, or Chuckles,
those aren't
or
really.
Crazy Legs, Skidmark, Airtight. Some of my favorite G.I. Joe characters.
I would love to have seen Airtight.
Those are all real characters, by the way.
They are?
Yeah, I'm
Airtight?
I'm hoping they'll show up in the
there
future.
Was a real
there
character
was?
Named Airtight.
Yes!
That is
oh,
the best
you have to play him in the sequel, Ralph.
Oh, I'd love to play Airtight.
It's the best thing I've ever heard.
Here's a scene from G.I. Joe, The Rise of the Cobra. G.I. Joe members battle it out with Cobra as they are attempting to destroy the Eiffel Tower. Cobra's going to bring it down, and all of Paris, actually. And the Joe members have to chase after them and stop them.
They're evacuating the tower.
We only need 2 kilometers away.
Snake, we're running out of time. You got to do something. It's now or never.
He gave up.
He never gives up.
Whoa!
Sure wish I could see that.
You know, a lot of special effects movies just sort of say, look what we can do.
Right,
they throw
look
it
at this.
Like Transformers 2. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. These sequences actually have some suspense and drama to them. It's really intense what they put you through, and the payoff is terrific.
I can't wait.
It's a big, goofy action-adventure movie, and especially if you were a kid who was a fan of the cartoon series and the toy, you will get a kick out of G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. Movie Beat.
Is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie Beat.
Hey, congratulations to Kevin and Bean listener John R. He just won tickets to go see Blink 182 at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. You know, that might not be his actual pronunciation.
Probably not.
But what would you guys do with A-U-R-E as a name?
Say it like you did.
No.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, your chance to win your Blink-182 tickets coming up. How about some email? We haven't done this in a long time, but we do all have the email addresses. You can get them at kevinandbean.com if you ever want to drop us a note on any topic. We can't write back to everybody. We do try. We do appreciate your input on the show. And a lot of times you guys tip us off to some pretty cool stuff.
King of Mexico and Psycho Mike and Omar are in a soapbox derby. Did you call it derby?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly what it is, yeah.
And we got an email from Josh. I'm a 23-year-old mechanical engineer, graduated from UCSB, and definitely want to be on the pit crew team to help build the Summer of Death coffin soapbox whip. Plus, my boss is on vacation for the next week or so, so it'll be easy for me to BS work and come up with designs. Vodka Red Bull dispensers? A must. Yayo mirror in the glove box? Done. Bong shifter? Keg wheels? Please, let me know. It would be sick, Josh.
When is that race? The Red Bull race is not till September, right, Mike?
Sure.
You don't know?
I have no clue.
September 26th, I'm being told.
Yeah.
Okay, because we definitely are going to make a showing there. That sounds like a good idea. We got to talk to that guy, find out what kind. It's funny how much time and effort Mike and Dave and Omar want to put into this ride, because it's like, isn't it like a one-minute race?
No, not even that.
It can be as short as 10 seconds. A lot of these boxes turn... make a quick right or left and go right into these berms and just shatter.
Fantastic. Eusebio writes in, hey, I have to ask, is it a running joke? Are you guys pranking us? Like, we go to the website to see how many times Kevin is wearing the exact same freaking throwback to the 80s blue striped shirt.
What
is the deal? What is the joke? You have to tell me. Lisa, if I send you a gift card to Macy's, will you please take Kevin and buy him some new shirts that he can put on to take photos with your guests with? Get him one and buy something nice for yourself. Know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying? Why am I talking like this? I think Kevin probably, I don't know what the deal is at your house, but I suspect that your dear wife lays out your clothes for you and she has to give you like the same thing every day to make sure that you put nowhere to put it on your body. What's going on?
Like, they're like ground animals, you know?
She's given up. Yes. She's given up on me on clothing. I just don't care.
Kevin is not wearing the same shirt.
I'm
Kevin
not
is like your substitute teacher in grammar school who has 11 of the same suits. Kevin has 45 of the exact same striped shirts. He is wearing a different shirt every time. It just looks exactly
looks
alike.
The same.
Yeah.
Is it just you love that shirt, so you bought a ton of them? Is that what it is?
I honestly don't know. I really
it's
don't.
To me shirts. I don't know. Make a way for it.
Our stripes is pretty.
Michael writes, hey guys, I am most certain that I remember you guys talking about a guy who was trying to raise money so that he could have donkeys that carry cold beer around on their backs at his wedding. I barely remember that guy.
Yeah.
Since hearing this absurd request, I have been slowly convincing my fiance that this is a must. I have finally convinced her that we should have, I can't say the M word because it seems to be offensive, so people McNuggets is what I'll go with, walking around with sombreros on their heads and donkeys carrying saddlebags filled with beer and other types of beverages. Ideally, I would like to have the little people wearing sombreros filled in with the middle with some kind of dipping sauce, such as salsa or melted cheese.
Great
maybe
idea.
Even bean dip. And then he goes on about permitting issues. He's not sure the people McNuggets can be let off their leashes legally, so we need to figure out how to do it. But apparently they're planning the wedding, and we need to talk to this guy and help him out because we have contacts in all of those worlds.
That is true.
It does sound very, very classy. I like that. Lisa May, you got an email from one of our international listeners.
Yeah, this is Chris, who moved to Tokyo about a year ago.
Okay.
And he was hearing us talk about the Internet Roundup and the video with the guys that push...
The police that push you onto a train?
50 people onto a train that can't pack one more body.
Yeah, and it's not possible to explain how long and hard they push.
Yeah.
And these people just get shoved in and then they close the doors and it's ridiculous.
So Chris writes, that S is no joke. I've been on the train when the doors open and maybe two people get out and you think, well, one or two will get on, right? Well, maybe that's in fatty land, but no. Here, all 30 will definitely be getting on. You'll never feel human compression like this until you've been shoved in all directions.
Wow.
The way he said, I've seen people standing up, pressed in from all sides, dead asleep, and I've seen trains go by with people comically pressed into the windows of the train. I would love to see that.
Wow.
And it's even more fun when you've got over 100 on a train car in the summer. Nothing makes you feel morning fresh like showing up to work in a suit drenched in sweat and smelling like a rhino.
Wow, that sounds
times.
Bad.
It is amazing because you have to see this video at kevinandbean.com. It is amazing because no matter how many people are already on the train car, they'll let everybody who's waiting for that train car on, whether they fit or not.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
it's not a
it's
word.
Shocking.
They shove they make them, they shove them on.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Far East, I have an email from Doto if you'd like me to read that.
Oh, please do. The International Man of Mystery?
Yeah.
This one came to our own Lisa May.
Mike has writing me lately.
Mike has a talent in reading Doto in Doto speak.
Lisa, last year around October, accused me threatening life, report me to the police. I went into police station for a few minutes. Police say, Doe, if you come near him or contact him named Bill, you will be arrested. I forgot to tell officer I have learning disability. I did not know anything, Bill. The guy's crazy and paranoid of me. If he file false restraining order against me, I could defend myself. Anyone could accuse anyone of wrongdoing not mean the claim's always true.
That's true.
In this country, if I'm accused or something that may or may not be true, I could defend myself against accuser, right? Doe.
Doe is special. Here's Karen writing in. Hey, Kevin and Bean, love the show. Hi, Lisa. And then in parentheses, Bell. Why has this not been added to the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices? The acid-spitting Mongolian death worm, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on! That has everything!
This is a story that she sent us about a worm that is legendary in Mongolia. It has not been caught, but Mongolians there are convinced it exists, so they are now going on a search for it. It's apparently 5 feet long. It jumps out of the sand and kills people by spitting acid at them.
That's best
Come
thing.
On!
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
You know, Lisa, man, it's Gene Simmons.
Yes,
speaking
Gene.
Of long worms that spit stuff.
No!
Okay. We don't have time for that, but thank you. Wow, that story has everything. We need to get to the bottom of that one as well. Make some calls.
Hey!
That's good.
Suck it!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:57.
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on in the world? Oh, Hollywood.
Oh, big doings. Big doings. You guys know who Tony Curtis is?
Yes!
Old, sure. Old actor?
Tony Curtis was a big, big movie star in the 50s and 60s. Not so much anymore.
You're right.
But he is writing an autobiography, as they all do, towards the end of their careers or their lives. And apparently, the New York Daily News says in Tony Curtis's new autobiography, which comes out next month, the 84-year-old actor claims he hooked up with Marilyn Monroe.
Yay!
Really?
While they were filming Some Like It Hot.
Who at the time was the hottest woman in the world.
Absolutely.
And hooked up with everyone, too, by the way, Kevin.
Some Like It Hot, by the way, a great film. By the late, great Billy Wilder, starring Never Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon. Very, very funny film.
You know, it's not that surprising in a way. I mean, wasn't he like the dashing guy hooking up with all the women?
He was the hunk. He was the leading man of the day.
Yeah.
And she ended up pregnant, he says, with her child.
What?
She was married to Arthur Miller at the time, who refused to admit the baby wasn't his. At the same time, Tony's wife, Janet Leigh, another famous actress, was pregnant with Jamie Lee Curtis.
What?
Marilyn miscarried, he said, and the two parted ways and never really spoke much after the film wrapped up. Finally, someone is dishing some dirt on Marilyn Monroe. Thank God someone is finally talking about that whore.
She has been squeaky clean up until this point.
Oh, that's wait right. a minute. This poor woman's been dumped on since she died 40 years ago. Let's just shovel some more dirt on her, Tony Curtis. You're quite the gentleman, by the way.
Yeah.
That's
wasn't it Attorney General Robert Kennedy who had her killed? Wasn't that the deal on her,
too? She was found with drugs in her apartment. She was the original sort of Anna Nicole Smith in terms of scandals when it came to her passing.
Except for she was smoking hot and did the president.
Yeah, and a good actress.
Yeah.
But really, do you really, if you're Tony Curtis, do you really need to besmirch her anymore if you're writing about your life?
No! No!
I tell you what we want to hear about, Tony, is explain what that is on top of your head that you wear when you go out in public. What is that?
Does he wear a hairpiece?
That white mongoose you have that's got its claws into your scalp. That's what we're curious about. Not about poor Marilyn.
Oh.
I don't know why you wear a poodle to a restaurant. Douchebag. Misha Barton is being watched, according to In Touch magazine. The first time in years anybody watched Misha Barton, by the way. Apparently, Misha now has a sober companion.
Okay.
Since she apparently has some problems with substances and alcohol, she is currently being accompanied everywhere with a sober companion.
That sounds like a good idea.
Really? Let me
tell
you something.
It doesn't work.
I've had plenty of sober companions in my lifetime. The problem is, I'm drunk. My companions are all sober. I am face down in a dog dish full of Jack Daniels.
Right.
But let me ask Psycho Mike, because Mike, you've been in all
forms of therapy, and you still help others who need. I mean, this is something that you do, right? Is you have somebody to make sure you don't take that drink,
yeah,
right?
I mean, a lot of people have family or friends, which is their sober companion. If Misha doesn't have anybody like that in her social network, then I think, you know, it's going to be crucial for her to have somebody to be around her.
But
and look
you
out
can't
for.
Make her not drink. If,
if I want to drink and I have a sober companion, my sober companion better have some sober duct tape to tape my arms to my side and keep me in my chair. And maybe a sober handgun to put on me.
More importantly, but why do you drink Jack Daniels out of a dog bowl?
Oh, best way. Okay. Because it's like you let the air get exposed to it. It's like a fine wine. You want to expose as much of the surface to the air as possible. Right.
But it should also be said that if Misha doesn't really want to get sober, it doesn't matter how many people she has around her.
Right, but she could have a weak moment. She's at a party, and she wants to get a drink.
Sure.
And the sober companion could say to her, hey, listen, Misha, you've worked really hard. You've been sober for 11 days. Is this something you really want to do? And it might be just the momentary... Hey, stop and think about it that she needs. That's all I'm suggesting.
I would say, hey, sober companion, why don't you just drive the car, all right? You leave me alone over here with my Buddha bag full of Merlot, whatever it is I'm sucking on. Hey, people still use the Buddha bags?
No.
Not as much.
Really? Buddha bag is, for those who don't know, it's like a pelt. It's like deer skin or something. It's shaped into like a bag.
It's a soft canteen.
Yeah, that's right. It's got a nozzle on the end of it. And you squeeze it and you just hot red wine in your mouth.
Hot red wine?
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
That's the best.
It's a horrible way to drink.
Yeah. Use it for an enema then. The wine enema.
Same
Come
wine?
On. Okay. Oh, that'll get you. Quick.
Oh, no.
Into the bloodstream. Right. And speaking of enemas.
Come on now.
No, I don't have a segue like that, but I'm talking about, talking about Paris Hilton.
All right.
So, the same region.
Sure.
She has a new acting job.
Did you say a new acting job?
She's got a new gig, Paris Hilton does. She apparently has just signed on to appear in 5 episodes of the CW hit Supernatural. She will play a love interest for both the main characters, Sam and Dean, on that show. And she's going to be acting in that show.
Stop whoring around, Paris! Stop being a whore!
What could be more supernatural than Paris Hilton's movie career, by the way, her acting career?
No kidding.
There has to be some sort of dark forces at work and keeping her employed. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Wayne Knight from Seinfeld. He's 54 years old today. David Duchovny, star of The X-Files and Californication on Showtime, is 49. Harold Perrineau from Lost and Oz is 46. And the only woman...
The only woman.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah, she's the only woman.
The only woman.
Charlize Theron celebrates her 34th birthday today. I love her so much.
You do.
You know how great she is? My wife loves her. That's how great she is.
Wow.
Suck it.
We're thinking of...
and she said that.
We're thinking of, you know.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Maybe getting a bigger house. Maybe 3 of us could, you know, all get together.
I don't think she's down. She does have the boyfriend, though.
Yeah, she's
husband,
got a big house, too. Maybe we should ask her.
Right. I don't think...
You don't think Speed Bump would be down for that?
Probably not.
Damn.
I don't think she would be down for that.
Ralph, why is it... I have to ask, why is it when I profess my love for Rachel Nichols that it's creepy and weird and evil and wrong and bad, yet you're doing the exact same thing for Charlize Theron and think it's perfectly legitimate and natural?
I would just like to say that your read on this is accurate, Bean. It's 100% accurate, and I'm not sure why, but it is true.
Because the thing is, when Bean... How come when I do it, it's creepy and weird and bad and evil? It's because you are creepy and weird and bad and evil.
But my love for Rachel Nichols, it is
creepy
beautiful.
And weird and bad and evil.
You can say good things and they come out creepy.
That's right. No matter what you say, you put your stink all over it. It ruins it. You can say, oh, look at those pretty roses. And we go, that sounds disgusting.
Isn't that perhaps on you and your interpretation? I'm not bringing any of that to the table. I'm just full of pure love and light for Rachel Nichols. But somehow you deny that, yet we're supposed to just sit around and listen to you fantasize about Charlize Theron, who doesn't know you exist all day.
Hey, Emperor, if everyone around you says you're not wearing any clothes, and you say, oh, look at my beautiful vest, trust me, you're nude. It's not
just
me. It's
saying.
Not my take.
Wait a minute.
I'm just
dude?
Saying.
I hope not.
All right.
He is just saying, though. You got to give him that. Yeah, but still. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Just have to agree to disagree.
Yeah. Around, always looking down at all I see.
Well, okay.
Okay, so that song's over. That's how that works. That song ends, and then we're supposed to say something.
And then you are supposed to talk.
Normally, that's how we do it. But I just thought I'd change things up a bit today, just for the fun of it.
That was unexpected, I must say.
This whole building has fallen apart today around us, by the way.
It is. Unfortunately, we're having to rebuild things as we go, and we don't know how to do that.
Because we're not engineers? Is that what you're saying?
Here's what happened. It's a world-famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. And thank you for sticking around to hear us on the 9 o'clock hour, too, by the way, which is new this week. Here's what happened is the phones died, and then we found out there's one phone in a cleaning supply closet that apparently still works in the whole building. And that's where we're in. We're crammed into a cleaning supply closet now trying to finish the show with the one phone line that still can dial out.
We think. So let's see. Yeah. Scott, are you there? Hello, Scott. Excellent.
This is exactly what we were hoping for.
All right, Mike, dial that one more time. No
problem. This is Kevin, tell folks who Scott is and why we're eager to get him on the phone today.
Well, he is the Strikeforce CEO.
Right.
And he just signed Fader, and this is a big thing in the MMA world because it looked like Fader was going to be able to fight Brock Lesnar in the UFC, which is the fight everybody wants to see. But that may not happen.
That may be changing.
Yes.
And this is all as a result, of course, of Affliction folding, which was a surprise to a lot of people because they thought it was up and coming. It lasted almost exactly a year.
Hey, Scott, hi. It's Kevin and Bean. We're on the air. How are you?
How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm sorry for the late phone call, but we're in another studio. We're trying to make things work. So.
Yeah, no worries.
All right.
Appreciate it. So bring folks up to speed. We have a lot we want to talk to you about. For people who maybe are only casual MMA fans, Strikeforce is what's the deal? What's the deal with Strikeforce right now?
Well, you know what? We have a great fight with Gina Carano and Chris Cyborg. I'm sure you guys have heard of Gina Carano before.
Absolutely.
We've had her in the studio, and frankly, she's too hot to fight.
Well, I tell you, you know, if you've ever seen her fight before, this girl is not just the girl next door, you know, with the pretty face, but she can really bring it.
And, she can. She's hot and she destroys people.
Yep.
And I tell you, and Chris Cyborg, you know, she's an animal too. So really, it's the number one and the number two female fighters in the world that are going to, you know, fight next Saturday on Showtime.
Okay.
So now, it's going to be an amazing show.
Now, the big news with Affliction going under is that Fader was their big fighter, and everybody wants to see him fight Lesnar. So we thought, well, if Affliction goes under, maybe they'll both end up on UFC. I'm not trying to insult you, but it would be great to see that fight. Is that ever going to happen, or no now?
Well, the thing is, you know, I don't think it's UFC's policy to, you know, to do co-promotions, and I think that was the whole issue, you know, with it was really M1 that has a contract with Fedor.
Okay.
And, you know, he is the number one fighter in the world. And, you know, I understand, hey, I would like to see that fight too. And they tried to work it out, but they just couldn't work it out. So, you know, we got the golden ticket, and Fedor is now fighting for Strikeforce in a co-promotion with M1.
Now, should we have been surprised that Affliction folded the way it did, or is it something that you guys in the fight game saw coming?
No, Affliction, you know, they it's not their core business. You guys, you know, everybody knows they're an apparel line, and
right.
And you know, they try to stay in the fight business, but you know, it was costing them you know, every fight they're losing a lot of money, and you know, they try to work something out with us, you know, months in advance about you know, trying to you know, be a sponsor and get out of the fight promotion business. But you know, I think the guys inside there, you know, they love MMA and they're good guys, and they wanted to you know, to promote, and they tried it, and it just didn't work out. And they said, "Hey, this we got to get back to our core business, and keep it going." So, you know, we weren't surprised because we were talking to them, but you know, maybe some fans were surprised, but you know, people inside the industry knew that, well, you know, that it was just a matter of time.
They were having trouble the whole time.
Now that you've got Fedor, a fighter who's immensely popular, what are your plans with him? What do you want to see him do, Scott?
Well, you know, there's a couple of fighters that we have that I think will be great fights for Fedor. And one is Brett Rogers, who just knocked out Andrei Arlovski. And he's got a record of 10-0. That's definitely one fight that we're going to tee up. You know, another is with our champion. You know, the nice thing about working with M1 is, you know, Fedor is M1's champion. Alistair Overeem, you know, who's had, you know, a ton of fights in Japan, fought for Pride, fights for us. And, you know, him and Fedor would be a great fight. They have never fought before. And we just created an alliance with Dreams, which is a Japanese fight organization. We're going to do some fighter training. So, you know, maybe Karatanov and Fedor could fight as well. So there's three, four, five fights out there that I think would be very interesting for Fedor.
So with Affliction folding, I mean, that's a loss for them, but it's a gain for the sport in general because it makes Strikeforce better. And, you know, and that's good for fans, especially when you've got this deal with Showtime, which is, you know, for many people, a little more affordable, a little easier to handle than the pay-per-view.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Fedor's first fight will be on Showtime in the fall. The date's not set yet, but we'll definitely let, you know, all the fans know and you guys know. And, you know what, think about it. This will be the first fight, you know, that Fedor has fought in the cage. So, you know, maybe it might be a little different for him, just like when Mirko Krokop tried to make the transition. He had a hard time from the ring to the cage. But, you know, let's see how Fedor does in the fall.
All right, fantastic. Well, we just wanted to get the update because having Affliction go under, and then I know everybody's interested in Fedor and where he went. Yeah. So I guess congratulations and best of luck. And next, when is the Gina Carano fight? Next Saturday?
The Gina Carano fight is a week from tomorrow, and it's going to be at 7:30 Pacific on Showtime. Or if you guys, you know, if you want to drive on up, it's going to be at the HP Pavilion here in San Jose.
Fantastic.
Okay, and I'm sure, as a final question for you, Scott, I'm sure you get asked this a lot. Is it for safety reasons that they can't do those fight topless? I mean, it seems like that would be where you could go. I mean,
well, you know, I don't have a comment on that, but you should probably ask Gina and Cyborg that question.
Well,
yes, you should. In person, I would like to see that.
She's going to be on the show next week, so
yes,
maybe
is.
We should take that opportunity to not ask that.
All right, Scott Coker is the CEO of Strike Force. The website is strikeforce.com. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Meacho. Have a great weekend, Scott.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Ralph Garman joins us. Our final look at the showbiz beat for the day, for the week. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, everyone's still mourning the loss of John Hughes. Super talented director and writer who gave us so many memorable films, passed away at the age of 59, taking a walk in Manhattan when he had a sudden heart attack and died. So, of course, we remember his long list of not only the teen coming-of-age films he got to be so well known for, but also his other films as well. She's Having a Baby, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
If you haven't seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, it's one of the funniest movies ever.
Yeah.
Ferris Bueller.
Awesome.
Pretty in Pink, Weird Science, Vacation, The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles. Although, I mean, let's not lose our sense of honesty and reality, even in his passing.
What does that mean?
Well, we still have him to thank for Curly Sue.
Well, you don't need to bring it up now, though.
Dutch, Beethoven, Dennis the Menace,
right,
Baby's Day Out,
right? But
Flubber.
Okay, they weren't all classics.
Made in Manhattan.
Look, if he made one,
Drillbit Taylor, that's what killed him. Drillbit Taylor.
If he made
that Owen Wilson movie?
Owen Wilson is a guy who beat up kids for other kids.
Yeah, I saw that.
Death.
If
you wait a minute, hold on. Time out.
Yeah,
Time. Where's the ref? Time. You saw Drillbit Taylor?
I did, yeah.
Owen Wilson plays a guy who beats up other kids for kids. You pay him and he beats up bullies for you.
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I do remember not liking it much, but...
But I sure like that you make fun of my movies.
Well, your movies suck.
I'm just saying, yes, let's not lose our perspective as we mourn his passing.
Most directors don't make one classic. Not even one.
That's right.
Most directors don't make a whole bushel full of turds either.
You would have that career, Ralph, if you could. You would have Drillbit Taylor on your resume if it means you also got to make Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Let's be honest.
Yes, you would.
I wouldn't have Drillbit Taylor and Dennis the Menace and Curly Sue and Dutch.
But I give you Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and
Made in Manhattan. Made in Manhattan.
That was a stinker.
I didn't see that.
Jennifer Lopez. Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, she's a maid.
In
Manhattan?
Yeah, that's where she is, all right. She sure is in Manhattan.
In his defense, every single one of those bad ones that you mentioned, he didn't direct. He just did the screenplay for.
He just wrote the bad words.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So maybe his approach was to save them while they were being filmed. Maybe he did updates on the script on the ones that he also directed.
Directed, yeah.
I'm going to miss him. I think he was a phenomenal talent.
You're not going to miss him.
I am.
You don't even know him. Not going to miss him. Just saying. Perspective, people. That's all I'm saying. Speaking of perspective, I would like to have been a fly on the wall last Valentine's Day when Sienna Miller and Rachel Nichols, co-stars of G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, spent the day together alone in bed.
What?
Tell us more, please.
Apparently, romantic Valentine's Day came along while they were filming the movie. And we needed each other, Sienna said. It was a very testosterone-fueled environment. We actually spent Valentine's Day together in my bed.
What?
We got along so well making the film. We spent all of our time together.
They're best friends now.
Rachel and Sienna are very close friends.
That's fantastic.
Yes, it is. I'm just going to have to think about that for a little while. You know that guy, the director, not director, the sculptor
named Daniel Edwards. You've probably seen his work. It's been in the news. He is a celebrity sculptor, but he sculpts celebrities without their permission or knowing and puts them in interesting situations. He had the Britney Spears statue where she was lying on a bearskin rug giving birth.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, she on all fours or something?
Yeah,
I remember that.
He did another one of Paris Hilton dead with her chihuahua jumping all over her.
I didn't see that.
That was just awesome. Wish fulfillment is all that was.
He did another one of Oprah Winfrey dead in a sarcophagus.
Wow.
He's got a new, new statue.
Okay.
On September the 11th in Oklahoma City, his new statue will be unveiled. It is a nude breastfeeding Angelina Jolie. It's
all
Angelina
right,
nude with two babies, likely meant to be her twins Knox and Vivian, feeding off of her breasts. She's holding one baby with each arm.
Yes.
Angelina says she had no prior knowledge to the bronze statue of herself and the two babies, but she would like to adopt the two bronze babies. So that's in the works with her lawyers. So congratulations.
Wow.
Hope that works out for you. Before I get to the showbiz birthdays, I've got some tickets to give away.
Yes, you do.
To the very special advanced screening of a movie that I've had the pleasure of seeing already called District 9. You may have started to see the commercials and advertising campaign for this film. It is an exceptional science fiction film that mixes not only science fiction, but also tragic human reality. It is takes place in Johannesburg, South Africa. The director, Neil Blomkamp, is a first-time feature film director. He was discovered by Peter Jackson, who gave us The Lord of the Rings and King Kong and many other great films. And stars Charlto Copley, who's also a South African. These guys went to film school together. They were buddies, and when this guy had a chance to make a movie, he put his buddy in as the lead. The guy had never really acted before.
How about that?
Steals the film. It gives an amazing, amazing performance. I recommend this film highly. If you'd like to see it before it comes out in theaters on August the 14th, we're having a special screening on August the 12th. I've got five pairs of tickets to give away right now at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five people who get through get a pair of tickets.
Hold everything. We've got a winner.
Celebrity birthdays. Wayne Knight.
That was my appearance on Married with Children, Ralph.
That was you?
Listener said to me yesterday.
Yeah. That was your voice?
I'm afraid so.
Awesome. Let's hear it again.
Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about this, but...
Hold everything. We've got a winner.
Sounds like Ned Flanders.
I thought it sounded like the sportscaster in the Will Ferrell basketball movies, but I thought that sounded like
Semi-pro?
Yeah, semi-pro.
Today's celebrity birthday is Wayne Knight. Newman on Seinfeld, 54 years old. Today, Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden turns 51. Dickinson of Iron Maiden turns 51.
Stop paying attention.
Oh, okay. There you go. Throws me off. Usually throws me off. You know, used to throw me off when he jumped in and screams. Now when he doesn't scream, I get thrown off. It's very odd. David Duchovny of The X-Files is 49 years old.
Agents Mulder and Scully, FBI.
I'm sorry, what do they work for?
We're waiting.
The FBI!
Why did he even pause?
I don't know.
As if he wasn't going to play it.
I don't know. I figured I'd just rush things by
setting them up. Harold Perrineau of Lost in Oz is 46, and the lovely, the talented, the charming, the kind, the polite, the smart, the funny, the beautiful. Did I mention the talented?
Yes.
Did I mention the funny?
Yeah.
Yes.
Charming.
Fatty?
Oh. You... It's on, you and me, right now. Parking lot.
See,
both of you, bring it.
That's only funny because she's the opposite of fat or ugly.
Then you don't play that.
She's the opposite
of it, you don't play it.
Oh, that's the opposite of what? It's the opposite of the truth. That's what makes it funny.
We are going to dance.
I don't want to dance. Bean's the guy that's going
to
dance.
As Robert Blake used to say on the old Beretta TV show, we're going to dance, man. You and I, we're going to dance. You can take that to the bank.
I don't know what those words mean.
Charlize Theron celebrates her birthday today. She is 34 years old. And I know Charlize occasionally listens to the show.
Yeah, of course we're kidding around.
And if she happens to be listening, I want you to remember, darling, who said the good things and who said the bad things.
We all love Charlize, by the way.
All right. Yeah, that's why you're playing Chewbacca sounds, because you love her so much. I see how you roll.
Because it's funny, because clearly she's the most perfect woman in the world, so it's obviously ironic. That's all.
Still, you put your stink all over it, man. It takes on a whole new connotation. That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. By the way, speaking of your District 9, and I know what a big fan you are of the film, we're going to talk to your friend, the director, Neil Blomkamp, on Monday's show, and also the star of the film. Both of them are going to be here on Monday's show describing the movie.
Yeah. I hung out with those guys at the Comic-Con. We did the panel with Peter Jackson. We took 5,000 fans of the movie, and we had a big, big fun time.
We also have a guy on who's going to talk to us about his NFL Fantasy Super Draft on Monday. Yes, it is time to start making your teams for the NFL season for 2009.
God, I hate this guy.
Ralph loves the loves the fake NFL
fantasy
leagues,
football.
Fantasy leagues.
Ugh. We're going to give away that smart car and that free Arco gas for a year. We got that for you on Monday morning. We're going to announce our brand new Kevin and Bean singles party. It's been a while since we've done one of those. Start giving away tickets to that on Monday. A lot of good stuff. Our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ will be here. It's going to be, forget today's show. Don't judge us by today's show. Monday, that's the one you want to hear.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Don't bogart.
Pass it over to me.
Nice job, guys.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Don't bogart.
Pass it over to me.
Now, let's get this over with.
Roll another one.
How dare you?
Just like the other one.
Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Doe Toe.
This one seems to be a fun quit.
I'm gonna bite my pillow. Is what I'm gonna do.
Another
the beautiful Cat Corbett, by the way, up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including some Bad Religion, also Kings of Leon. We got the Harvey Danger, Paramore, and that new one from Apocalypt. That
roll.
Wow.
Apocalyptica.
Is the head that eats the crayons.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end.
Whoa! Whoa!
I don't have another cent.
I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
I tell you, man, this lacks the feel of professionalism.
Just pass it around.
I do have a 22-inch waist.
I love lesbians.
Just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
Nice job, guys.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Onions, baby onions! Raptors win! Raptors win! Get out the salami and cheese, mama! This ball game is over.
Hey, for a lot of deal, we gotta show some love for all the fighters tonight, man. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good, man. We still gonna have the after party. Holla at your boy.
Thank you for listening. God bless you. God bless Louisiana.
What?
And God bless America.
This brutal ordeal is now officially over, and I will never speak of it again.